on the download. Cook County treasurer Maria Pappas. Chicago hip-hop artist and producer Cam OB. And we play the worst with comics Kristen Toomey and Rena Kong. Now, here's your host, a man who is still on island time, Justin Kaufman.
If I were still on island time, I would think it's like 3 p.m. And honestly, there's no clocks and watches and any of that stuff. So the fact that I'm here for the shift to start the show tells you that I've fully adjusted back to Chicago time. Central Standard. Island time. That's for the birds. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd still love to be there. But of course, talking about being in Jamaica over the weekend. Yeah. Which, for whatever reason, and I guess that's just the way it works, is that you say, oh, where were you this weekend? Oh, I was in Jamaica. Yeah, man. All right. Calm down. We get it. They say man. You nailed it. And that comes in all sorts of forms. That could be oral. That could be digital. A lot of emails responding. Sorry, I'm going to be out of town. Where are you at? I'm going to be in Jamaica. I'll be back on Monday. Yeah, man. Jamming. All right.
Get any good Jamaica flag emojis?
There is one. Every time I text Jamaica, that there's a flag that pops up, and I'm like, well, I'll just shortcut to this flag. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, from Usain Bolt. Yeah, right. Excuse me.
Surprisingly, and I don't know if this fact is true or if it's just island lore or nobody really had the facts in front of them, but I was told that the color yellow that is used in the Jamaican flag, almost the neon yellow, is the only way that color is used in any flag around the country. Or the world, sorry. So it's like specific. Okay, maybe. Can't really follow that one up when you're sitting at the bar like, yeah, oh yeah. I checked that out on my internet, but I didn't get the international call thing. So I'm just hoping Flo instead of AT&T will pick that up. Whatever. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Man, we got a great show lined up. We'll start at the back end in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll play the worst tonight. How great. I love it when we have full shows on Tuesdays because it gives us a chance to complain about the worst things in society for prizes and do it with great comedians here in Chicago tonight. Rena Kalm and Kristen Toomey, two great comedians who... And every time you turn around, and it might be the algorithm because I'm always booking them for the segment, but their stuff is front and center. Their careers are just, they're all over the place. I mean, Rena put up today, I'll be on the worst tonight, but first I'm doing House of Blues at 7 o'clock. I mean, they're hustlers, and they're constantly working, both of them. They're great performers, and we're lucky to have them on the show. So they'll be coming up at 10 o'clock when we play the worst, 312-981-7200. We'll go back. We'll keep going backwards. How about that? 9 o'clock, Cam OB. Cam OB is a hip-hop producer in town. Came from Las Vegas. Actually quit his job and working in, I think it was a Best Buy or something like that, and came to Chicago because he had heard about the hip-hop scene, hooked up with some producers, and ended up with production credits. He's a Grammy Award winner because he had production credits on Coloring Book, Chance the Rapper's great album, and even Chance's mixtape, Acid Rap, which was the song Cocoa Butter Kisses, which is one of the best songs on the rec on that mixtape, and Cam OB produced it. So the reason we're talking with him, he's got a debut album coming out, Stepping Out. Said enough of I think these levels are fine on the board. I think maybe I'll get in front of the mic. Cam OB will be my guest at 9 o'clock tonight. Looking forward to talking to him. Love his stuff. 8 o'clock tonight, my guest is going to be Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas. You know what time it is, ladies and gentlemen in the Cook County area. Coming up here on March 1st will be the first installment of your property taxes. They're due. So just to tease you a little bit, we're bringing in the woman who you have to pay coming up this week. Maria Pappas will be my guest. We'll talk about government. We'll talk about property taxes. We'll also talk about efficiency. I haven't had her on the download, but I've had the treasurer on before, and there was a really interesting conversation about taking the Cook County systems and government into the 21st century. I mean, there's a lot of antiquated and redundancies in government, a lot of paper trail, I mean, actual paper still to this day. And so we'll talk about her office's push to... It just seems so random and weird, right? Talk about the treasurer's office, their push to digitize. But she was at the forefront of that, so we'll talk with Maria Pappas coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And at 7:30, the download on Chicago Business, Desk View. Looking forward to this. A couple of great entrepreneurs in town have come up with a pretty simple concept. A standing desk that you can that temporarily apply to the window. So you can essentially suction a desk, a small desk that gets your laptop, your coffee, everything else you need, papers, and suction it to the window of the 88th floor of the Hancock Tower, whatever it is. And that's your desk. And don't take my word for it. They'll be in studio today, and we'll talk about their success. People seem to like this idea. We always talk about services provided, and we talk about business, complex businesses, but rarely do we have products, design, and inventors in studio. So we'll talk with these guys tonight about how they see that business thriving and growing in the years to come. So all that coming up tonight, news, weather, and traffic with Rob Martier and Esmeralda Leon, production provided by Pete Zimmerman. I'm Justin Kaufman, and this is The Download, a show about Chicago starring those who know it well. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do the carryout. So stay with us. All right, it's The Download here on 720 WGN. We got a big show tonight, so let's get it started. Let's carry out. Here are today's top stories. Well, there was a big Obama Foundation meeting today to introduce parts of the library to the south side of Chicago. And who showed up? Surprise! The former president himself? George W. Bush? Oh, no, Barack Obama. To give the big persuasive speech. I mean, if you're going to surprise people, I mean, I don't know. Last year, maybe go with Chance the Rapper, or I don't know, Horace Grant. He's always around these days. Really? The former president? Yeah. I guess he's a good get. I love the bid came out today, and right before they actually did the dog and pony show, they announced that they were going to give money to local Jackson Park baseball diamond. It's so politics. It's like so straight up, like, before we tell you what we're going to do to this land and tear up a bunch of stuff to give you our vision, look over here. There you go. You've heard of Shark Week, right? Well, it's like that in Springfield, but instead of sharks, it's guns. It's Gun Week. Today, a bill was introduced that would outlaw body armor and high-capacity magazines in the state of Illinois. This is in response to the killing of Chicago Police Commander Paul Bauer. The only problem is that those laws are kind of already on the books. So this political dance is just about making those laws stronger? And frankly, have we heard at all about where this killer got his gun? Has that come out in the body armor? Was that a legal purchase? Something tells me it wasn't. I don't know. I'm sure that people will tell me otherwise at this point. But let me put it this way. I'm sure that dude did not care, right? But I guess this bill would strengthen penalties against anyone who sells it or lets someone borrow body armor. Also, there's plans being proposed that would tighten the world of gun sellers, making the licensing requirements more strict. It's hard to know if any of this stuff is going to pass, but if it does, it already promises to be a blueprint for other states that want to change their gun laws. The big issue here is that our politically divided nation follows the exact same pattern when it comes to the Second Amendment, and there's just no room for compromise, which is why it's so easy for Russia and other places to poison us with rhetoric. We just buy it. In that CNN town hall last week, the sheriff from Broward County made good points. Let's stop doing the same thing. Doing the same thing over and over and over is the definition of insanity. We need change. What's the change? I'm open to arming select school administrators. I know it's dangerous, but more dangerous than the alternative? I'm also for limits and possibly an outright ban of weapons of war. You can't own nuclear bombs. Cool? No howitzers, no tanks, no machine guns. Are we cool? For the liberals, yes, guns in schools, bad news. But you know what? Psychos in schools, bad news too. And it seems to be working to deter shoot-em-ups in public courthouses and Capitol buildings. So it may offer enough of a deterrent for someone to think twice about a rampage. Maybe not. You're right. Maybe not. But maybe. And also, the NRA and law enforcement, they're right. Build our schools differently. How about that? Aren't we all thinking about that? I mean, building the Inglewood High School right now? Rahm Emanuel, are you thinking about that? As we see all these plans for new schools and new buildings, is anybody thinking about what might be enhanced when it comes to security? And lastly, fix the background check system. The NRA is right. It's hard to come down on law-abiding citizens when the background check systems to buy a gun are so damn porous. You can be on everyone's list but still pass a background check? What? I miss one hospital bill and every single credit agency knows about it. I think it's pretty easy to get these people to talk to each other. And for the conservatives, the Second Amendment protects your right to bear arms to protect family and property. I get it. But it doesn't give everyone the right to own the latest in gun technology, which can kill people in ways our forefathers only dreamed of. And if you're worried about fending off a tyrannical government, see how that's playing out in Syria. Tyrannical governments use rockets, missiles, drones, and chemical warfare, not AR-15s. You won't have much use for your bump stocks when a drone controlled from space determines you and your gun to be enemies of the state. Also, enough of the taking away our rights parade. You're so quick to stand up about giving other people equal rights, yet now you're worried about yours being taken away? For the record, nobody's taken away your rights. But to live in a civilized society, those rights have to be regulated. Okay, have I sufficiently annoyed both sides? That's what has to be done, guys. We have to annoy both sides. I've done my job tonight. Now let's move on to something we can all get behind a hate on. Pitchfork announcements. Pitchfork, the big music festival, announced the big bands today by live stream mural. What? Yeah, an artist was painting a mural which had the first 12 bands, and the only way to get the information was to watch him slowly paint it. So they decided the best way to get their information to the masses was to bore the molasses out of the masses. It's like we got punked. And then they were like, ha, just joking, it's cool, tickets are super expensive. In weather, super nice today, huh? Last I checked, still February. Also, Kankakee County residents still bailing out from last week and the floods. When I flew in on Monday, you could still see a lot of the standing water along the waterways and farmlands from those communities. Also, did you know that last week, during the rains, it was designated a sewer overflow day? And Chicago area residents were asked to conserve water by taking shorter showers, not running the dishwasher, and flushing toilets less. Did you know that? Neither did I. This helps in keeping the sewers emptier so they don't get dumped into the rivers because the basins in the areas were full. And if that does happen, and probably did, we send sewage into the Chicago River and then down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. And I'm glad it was the job of the nonprofit Friends of the Chicago River to put out that press release. What gives? What do you mean that's all? That's how we found out about this? A press release from the Friends of Chicago River? Shouldn't we all know that? Shouldn't we get an alert, I don't know, on our phones? My iPhone tells me when the curlers won a gold medal, but they can't notify me to flush a toilet less? I don't know. I feel like that should be something the city should look into. I would have gladly peed 3 times and flushed once if I knew I was doing that to better the community. Anyway. In sports, quietly, Pernell McPhee is gone. Quentin Demps, I get it, played a game or so for the Bears, but McPhee? Great. There goes my Nanny McPhee poster. It's going to be the best. Him with the Nanny McPhee, and he's vacuuming while he's holding a quarterback in one hand like he's a nanny. I would have millions. I would have told the Deskview guys, hey, man, I got another idea for you. But now, I guess it'll be mass-produced in Indianapolis or wherever he gets picked up. Someone will make a ton off of that. Anyway, Ryan Pace's track record as general manager, PU, huh? I mean, think about it. Beyond Danny Trevathan, Akeem Hicks, who has he brought via free agency? Last year's crew, Mike Glennon, Marcus Cooper, Prince Amukamara, Quentin Demps, and Marcus Wheaton? Oh, man, not one impact player. That is impressive futility. That's impressive. Speaking of, the Bulls lost to the Nets last night, and tonight they play against the Hornets. I'm up. And heck, don't look now, but the New Orleans Pelicans are making a move. They've won 5 games in a row, which is not good since we have their 2019 number one pick. So what are we going to have? Anyway. Blackhawks play again on Thursday. The Cubs and White Sox play today. The Cubs won. The Sox have been looking good, though, especially rookie Michael Kopech, the hard-throwing righty with the hard C sound at the end of his name, even though it's spelled C-H. What's that? Way to confuse us. You're the new Nikola Mirotic? I don't know. The Sox lost prospect Jake Berger to an Achilles injury out till next year. He wasn't factoring to play this year, but he is the future at third base. And what a great name, Berger. He hits one in the gap. Hawk can be like, that's a double cheese. Third baseman of now, Matt Davidson, continued his hot spring with another homer today. So that could be a nice surprise for a White Sox team that doesn't even have anybody scheduled to play third. They actually do that little league shift where the shortstop plays both third and third. Yeah. The Big Ten tournament starts this week. The Cats play on Thursday against Penn State. If they win that one, they play Ohio State. If they get past Ohio State, they got Purdue. And if they win that one, they're probably going to get Michigan State, if that all goes to plan. So those are the quality wins we've been looking for. They're right in front of you, smacking you right in the face. You want to make the big dance? You got to learn the cha-cha. Now, that I was going to say, someone can have that one. One of the CBS announcer, Jim Nance or something, can do that one. If you want a big dance, you got a cha-cha. I'm giving that stuff away. And finally tonight, the guy who came up with nacho fries, you know that guy? He actually left Taco Bell to become the new CEO of Chipotle. Did you see that news last week? That's pretty great, right? Interesting. He's going to be replacing the CEO who came up with Chipotle's signature dish, E. coli. That's a ridiculous joke. That's the carryout for February 27, 2018. Go ahead and take as many napkins or salt or ketchup packets as you'd like. But when you start hoarding mayonnaise packets, that's borderline criminal. All right, coming up, the Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. Desk View in the building. We'll talk about their product and how they see it thriving and growing over the next couple years. And then Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas with me at 8 o'clock. It's a Download, 720 WGN. Stay with us.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
Yes, it's business time. It's time for the Download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. This is our weekly segment where we talk with CEOs and entrepreneurs. They tell us their stories so we can better understand ours. Tonight, the guys behind Desk View. Sometimes on this program, we have complicated, complex business ideas and services. I mean, really, sometimes you have to really struggle to find out what the product is that they're selling, but not with this. DeskView is all about the product. It's a standing desk that you suction to the glass wall for better views and more efficient workspace. Simple, brilliant. The Chicagoans behind it are in studio, Michael Bolos and Jason Grohowski. They just began this business, and they're already filling orders from 40 different countries, 700-plus pre-orders. What does it take to make this idea and to keep this business thriving and growing? Michael and Jason in studio tonight on the Download Chicago Business. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure.
All right, so let's get right to it. I mean, I say it's simple, it's brilliant. I mean, where's this idea come from? I mean, you just put one up. If you're watching on the webcam, you can see us right now. You can see you just suctioned it right to the wall here in the Allstate Showcase studio, and it latched in. Yeah. Where does the idea come from, Michael?
Simple enough. I mean, you pull it out of the box, and you throw it on in a couple seconds, and it's there. But the idea comes from kind of, I think we've all had that moment where we just have a need that we can't fulfill. So I was practicing law and I switched law firms, and you sit down a lot when you're a lawyer. And so I wanted to have a standing desk, an alternative. I started to have some hip problems and everything was going wrong. Even your shoulders start to get messed up. And so I couldn't put a standing desk where I had. My desk was mounted to the wall, had these cabinets above.
Right.
And so none of those, traditional put this on top of your desk worked. I couldn't buy one of those huge several thousand dollar pieces. And I have these floor-to-ceiling windows where in downtown Chicago, a lot of these buildings are glass. So I was like, that's perfect. I'm like, it's got to be out there. Google, Amazon, nothing. And so I kind of, when that happens, I just start to build. And that's where it starts. So again, I usually roam the aisles of Home Depot, find what I can, scrounge it together, and that begins prototype one.
It's amazing to think about. Jason, we've known each other for a while, but I knew you in commercial real estate, which actually makes a lot of sense, right?
That's actually kind of how it all ties together. So I met Mike shortly thereafter this initial prototype, and we had coffee. Didn't know each other before that, and he showed me this initial concept of DeskView. And with my 5 years and moving companies around, I see everybody using more glass within their space. They want all the daylight. They want to be mobile. Health is a huge concern amongst, the technology and the media companies started really this trend, and now everyone wants to be in a better work environment. It's not, high wall cubes anymore. It's open, collaborative,
right.
Cool, funky space. And so I immediately was like, this is gold. Let's partner up on this. And then, you know, we together linked up with a design firm here in Chicago called Minimal in the West Loop, spent about 7 months prototyping this. And then in January of last year, we got this version and we filmed our Kickstarter video, launched that in April, did about 70K in a month. And now are fulfilling orders in all over the world.
It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing reading your story and looking at how quick this is upon you, because it really is something where people are like, I want that.
Yeah.
And you think about the old adage in business, you're like, well, you can build it, you know, they will come. That's the idea. And in this case, for the invention, and Michael, this is essentially an invention.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have several different patents on it. And I think one of the other adages in business is, can you explain it simply? And as you said, I mean, it's pretty easy to understand.
A lot of people don't even look at the instructions. They're like, it's just simple.
Yeah, I got it. Right.
It's really, and it's funny because we'll hand it to people and intuitively they'll just kind of know how it works. And that is by design too. Sometimes designing something as simple as Jason said, we spent 7 months, a total of a year and a half, really from initial prototype to final release, of tweaking every single component of it.
You know, obviously you guys came at this as a necessity or understanding the marketplace, just in your case, looking at commercial real estate.
Yeah.
There's one thing to say, you know, it'd be great. What if you could put a standing desk suction against this glass wall? It'd be great. What if the views, everything, that'd be great. Wouldn't it be great? And there's another to actually do it and to get into the game. And now when you talk about, as I mentioned, 700 plus pre-orders, people want this, you're getting orders from all over countries. I mean, you both come from it, your commercial real estate, your lawyer. I mean, when you're entrepreneurs and you start thinking about the next phase of this business where it's going to get real and there are a lot of things that you may not have the expertise on, how do you approach it? How do you approach, at least philosophically, the fact that it's a new frontier?
Exactly. It's daunting, right? You especially, I mean, you create the concept, you show it to your friends and family, you see if there's a little bit of traction there. And the first one, when I first started to go commercial with it, was I actually paired up with a mechanic I found on Craigslist. And I bought these component parts that I got from China that I found on Alibaba. And then I took them and I sat in a garage with a mechanic and we welded them and, you know, painted them and made what we could. They say, you know, always kind of get that minimum viable product into the market.
Mm-hmm.
So got that. And after that, that's when you can start to double down once you see traction there. And you can get in a little bit manufactured.
Yeah. And I think one of the most important things was, you know, over the past 5 years, I've spent a lot of time developing these relationships. And we've kind of assembled this team of people from our manufacturing advisor in Texas who runs a manufacturing for a publicly traded company that I met through Rich Espy. In just multiple different people to really figure out this marketplace, to learn as much as we could about the product space and studying other successful e-commerce companies. Like there's a number of that right now, like Away Travels, one disrupting the luggage industry. You have shoe companies that are starting up. So we've really dove into what these other companies are doing.
There's a little
bit
of
strategies.
A blueprint, right.
Yeah, there is a blueprint. I mean, there's Movement Watches. I mean, there's a ton of different companies out there that are doing this, and our product ships fully assembled. It's 7 pounds. So it's, you know, arrives at your door, you can throw it up, you're good to go. Yeah, you can travel with it within your space.
When you start thinking about the marketing of this product, do you start thinking about, is this for individuals who want to bring it to work and assemble? I mean, because I would assume at commercial real estate, you may be able to even approach the offices and say, this is an alternative. This is a disruption to the big standing desks that are, I know from other jobs where there is an actual investment in getting standing desks. It's not just as easy as just flipping a switch.
Yeah, well, that's a conversation that I had with a number of CFOs. Hey, we need standing desks, but they're $1,000 plus, or you have to buy an add-on, which is $500 or more. We kind of give you this solution. If you have desks already, you want to be mobile, you want to stand, our product is a perfect fit for that.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Let's talk about the challenges of doing this. I mean, it's the two of you right now. Let's talk about what it takes to get this product to the customer. And then, you know, when you start talking about 40 different countries, there's international tariffs and laws and taxes and all the other stuff that goes into it. You guys are in for the ride of your life. Jason Grawowski and Michael Bolos, they are the creators, the guys behind DeskView. You can find it at deskview.co, right?
Yeah.
Jason, Michael, my guests tonight on the Download on Chicago Business. Stay with us.
It's business time. It's business time.
It's a download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. In studio tonight, the guys behind Desk View, Jason Grahowski, Michael Bolos. They can find it at deskview.co. It is the ultimate in brilliant, simple design. We are talking about a desk that suctions to the window. Need I say more?
Easy as that.
That's right.
That's pretty much it. All right. So off the bat, I mean, I could see in your eyes that you have obviously figured out who the customer is, and that's everyone, because it can be anything. It could be anything from a desk. It could be, we just talk shelves.
Shelving.
I mean, there's obviously some people are texting in, would it work for me to put my guitars on it? And you're like, yes.
Co-working spaces are huge. They're all glass. Hotel rooms, you only travel with a laptop. You have this giant desk.
It's amazing to think about that this has not been done before, but more importantly.
I get that a lot.
So the question I have for you guys, it's not going to be finding a target audience, because I feel like if this was put into the marketplace, everyone can find a use for it. The problem is going to be customer service.
Mm-hmm.
How when it comes to scale, let's say that tomorrow this takes off, Forbes picks it up, somebody starts writing about it, it becomes a viral hit, everybody wants one at the right price point. How do you, as two entrepreneurs in Chicago, get ready for millions of dollars or millions of orders coming through?
And that's all about kind of your manufacturing partner. You got to have those right partnerships in place. And with that just becomes a lot of vetting. I mean, you know, build that foundation, build the bones properly. And we were very blessed. Jason actually was able to pair us up with this amazing manufacturer. He's our advisor.
Yeah.
His name's Chris Weesey, and he has 30 plus years of manufacturing experience. So we sat down to dinner with him, showed him the product, and he was like, I know the guys for you. And he identified the manufacturer, and we, you know, they're out in Singapore. And so we took the 28 hours in coach, folded ourselves in half, and went out there. And there was nothing like it. He calls it going to Gemba. Yep. And we went there, and we have a video that we'll be releasing on it, where it's just we saw every single part of that manufacturing process. And we said, all right, if we need to spool up 5 more machines, if we need to spool up 10 more machines, if we need this entire room, can you give it to us? And they said they can, and they said they're there for us.
It was really important for us, because we didn't want to just hand this off and have somebody else make it. We wanted to get the entire team and our manufacturer to believe in the product, to believe in us, and we can't even tell you how much that paid off. Spending time, lunches, dinners in Singapore, spending the quality time with them to get their brains really thinking about other things, about the product, about certain challenges, like, hey guys, you should think about this. I mean, we really worked synergistically so well.
Okay, so for you guys, and I have very limited understanding of business, right? I'm glad to host this segment, and I love it. I love talking. That's why I talk to you guys. What do you need? I mean, is the idea that you need capital investment? Do you need people to invest in? And you always hear people talking about that they've acquired, secured a certain number of millions of dollars for a product. Is that what you're in the market for? Are you looking for the right distribution platform, like an Amazon or other places that will partner with you and get this to the masses? What's the first thing you need to get DeskView to the next level?
I mean, I think it's beautiful. We've been in a very lucky place where kind of investors have been contacting us and trying to throw money at us, and different platforms and retailers have been trying to take us on. We've just been very, very strategic about where we go. And I think that personally, my ethos has always been there's too much pressure to take on millions and millions of dollars and give up all of your business so that you can grow quickly. And I think we've seen that with the Chicago guys that had the Energy Bar, how they developed an amazing business without really taking on investment. But you, especially in the manufacturing world, you need some to get started, because there's a lot of upfront capital to make those molds
and begin that
relationship.
Those guys in Singapore want their cash, right?
They want a good amount up front.
Right.
But Kickstarter is a blessing in that regard, too.
So you can just crowdsource and be able to get the money that you need for those initial contracts through Kickstarter and places like that.
Yep, we did a good amount on Kickstarter. And then, I mean, the market, we have been really selective. Like, we're going to be going on Houzz soon. We haven't went on Amazon yet because we want to control the customer. Every single customer is important to us. I mean, we respond to everybody who goes on our website because we're new. We want to learn as much as we possibly can about each individual's concern, because that just helps us really grow this business in the right direction.
For you guys both as entrepreneurs, I mean, you approached business in a different way before this product. I mean, you were in different areas, and obviously you talked about being an inventor your entire life, but even invention's different than being entrepreneurs to hawk the invention, right? Yeah. What are you learning about yourselves? What are you learning about the process that you've started on this journey, and it's much different than what you were doing 2 years ago?
Yeah, the blessing is, I mean, I think our backgrounds really help because we both come from kind of large corporate, almost kind of cutthroat background. So we go at it, and we go at it hard. I mean, and I feel very blessed to have partnered with Jason, because not only do we have insane work ethics, but he fills in where I don't.
Yes.
I
sit. It's so amazing.
I sit in my apartment, and I build, and I prototype, and I develop, and I hone, and I play with the CAD files.
And then, I just kind of orchestrate everything else.
Yeah.
It works together so well.
What's the next? I mean, what would be the next step for you guys? I mean, as you look to this quarter and where you're at now, I mean, you're so close with already pre-orders and everything together. What is it? I mean, are you just turn it on and say, let's do this?
So we've been fulfilling orders now. So it's just now getting out there. We have product in Chicago now. So, I mean, we can ship in 3 to 7 days, which is amazing. Before, it was just pre-orders. So now having the product in our hands, we're rolling it out to influencers. We're starting marketing. We're on Google AdWords, Facebook ads, Instagram, all the good stuff. So now it's really for, like, let's just let the world see this.
Well, I mean, I asked the question to a lot of entrepreneurs that come through here, and we talk about Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And both of you guys are here, and it's great, obviously, with your contacts in the real estate industry, Jason. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, why here? I mean, this seems like something that would be Silicon Valley, or you might be able to get more action on the East Coast in New York. What is it about Chicago that keeps you guys here and wants you to work on Deskview in Chicago?
God, first off, Chicago's home.
Yeah.
Born and raised, and love it. And second off, I think Chicago, for the community, the entrepreneurial community, and if you read any articles, is just second to none. I can't think of a better community where everyone's there to help each other. And third, we're developing a lot of amazing product focus here. I mean, we've always been more of a tangible town in that regard. And I think if you're developing a product, Chicago is the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Chicago has been absolutely amazing. I'm a transplant. I've been here for 5 years, but I've developed this great network of people and have leaned on them in so many different ways in launching this product. And it's just, we've been very fortunate and are very thankful for that.
And it's also interesting, as you just mentioned, Michael, I mean, Chicago has a manufacturing history.
Exactly.
And this, I mean, for everything that's happening in the tech sector and everyone talking about this becoming a business 2.0 community, mm-hmm. which it has.
Yeah.
This is back to its roots. We're building things in Chicago. You're building this and being able to partake in a new emerging industry. All right. Jason Grahowski, Michael Bolos, both the guys behind Deskview. You can find out the information at deskview.co. My guests tonight on the Download in Chicago Business. Guys, you got to come back and let us know how it's going in a couple months. What do you think?
Definitely.
Thank you.
It's the Download here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Cam OB is going to join us, hip-hop producer who is putting out his debut album. He's produced, I mean, unbelievable artists. Chance the Rapper, Vic Mensa, J. Cole, a lot of artists that are making a lot of mainstream music right now. Cam OB, his fingerprints are all over it. He's a Grammy Award winner, and he is stepping out from behind the console, and he is putting out his debut album coming up here. So we're going to talk with him. And then we're going to play The Worst coming up at 10 o'clock with Rena Kalm and Kristen Toomey. Coming up Thursday, March 1st, it's the due date for your first installment of your Cook County tax bill. 55% of last year's property taxes are always due at the beginning of March. If you do live in the city of Chicago, you know that dreaded bill, it's coming, because it just keeps going up and up and up. But the silver lining, paying that bill has become a lot easier thanks to the work of longtime Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas. Pappas has streamlined the treasurer's website and also gave many Cook County residents a place to pay their 2017 taxes early to possibly avoid the upcoming changes in the federal tax code. Over 126,000 county residents did that before the new year, and the treasurer's office got more than $750 million in prepaid taxes. Wow. Pappas has been a treasurer in Cook County for 20 years. Before that, a Cook County commissioner representing the 10th District. She has a degree in psychology and law, and of course can twirl a mean baton to kick off area parades, as we've all seen. Maria Pappas, my guest tonight on the download. Treasurer Pappas, thanks for being here.
It's really great to be here.
Is this the busiest week of your year?
No, the busiest week that I've ever had in my life was when the Trump law was enacted on prepayments, and I got a message from my top deputies on around the 3rd of December saying, we just got 300 emails and 300 phone calls asking us what to do about prepayments, and I wasn't ready for it. So I called in my 35 top people, my programmers, and said, you need to immediately get programmed.
Right.
The Maria Pappas version of a downloadable boarding pass, or everything that I've ever done in my life will be completely destroyed.
And that's hard. I mean, it's an elected official.
It was tough.
If it goes wrong, if it doesn't work right, then they're like, oh, you know, it's the elected official's fault. But it is something that I would assume that the office has never had to deal with before.
No, we were the only county in the country that got up and running and did it absolutely correct, because it was a bill which was an exact amount. The IRS law said it had to be an exact amount, and we were 55% of the previous year, and
right.
We got it up and running. By December 11th, a downloadable prepayment bill was online. And what happened? I was supposed to be in Greece for Christmas and New Year's. I was going to take a little break. I got hit with what I've never gotten hit with before. I mean, I would sit and watch these 126,000 people literally come in online. And you know what? At this stage in my life, you think, you know, maybe I've been there, done that. What I saw coming in online was a new experience. And so this is what I learned, which is kind of astounding.
You learn a lot by collecting Cook County residents' taxes.
Yeah, but what I learned was that people were coming in after 9 o'clock at night online. And instead of just downloading this bill, this downloadable at cookcountytreasurer.com, this downloadable bill with a scan line, just like a boarding pass to get on a plane, I thought they were going to take it to Chase and Pay, bring it to my office, rip off the bottom stub, go to the post office. 90,000 direct debited or credit carded their accounts, which meant new thing for Pappas here. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to deal with the United States Post Office. No. I don't want to deal with stamps. I don't want to go to my community bank. This is a new trend for me. I don't want to be around anyone syndrome. And this was what was shocking. And when we realized that, what we did was we had been programming since the previous April, because the top people at Chase said to us, listen, we need to move out of checks and out of cash. Within 5 years, everything in banking is going to be wired.
Online. Interesting.
Everything is going to be wired. So, you know, when Chase comes in and says that, you immediately get on the phone, call MSNBC, you call Citibank, you call Bank of America, say, hey, we just got this message that in the near future, we're not going to be working with checks and we're not going to be working with cash and everything's going to be wired. And everybody said, that's right. So now the landscape of what I'm doing has changed. So what we did was, after we went through this, what I called the Pappas first tsunami wave at my age, I was like, seriously, is this happening to me? Wait, I'll tell you a funny story. So we were supposed to go to Greece for Christmas and New Year's. So the phone calls started coming in. Actually, the phone calls started coming in at my house at night from different press saying, you know, what are you going to do about this? And it was a national issue. So like national press was calling, like CNN was calling. And my husband's like, I said, Peter, you know what? I don't think we're going to be able to go to Greece. I said, I have this funny feeling. So after like the fifth interview, I did 75 radio and television interviews less than a 3-week period. I did 7 Polish radio and television stations. I was on Russian radio. I was doing Korean radio because the homeowners, which I'll talk about in a little bit, this is an ethnic town. It's like not really a city. So I said to my husband, I said, I don't know if we're going to be able to. The next day he cancels. I come home. I'm exhausted, okay, with this programming. And he said, I canceled the trip. I said, really? I didn't tell you to cancel. He goes, no, I canceled. I said, well, what are we going to do for Christmas? He said, you're going to spend it by yourself, and I'm going to spend it by myself. How's that?
That's what the tax code did. That's so good.
And then all of a sudden, he goes to work. And the next day, I did 13 interviews. In one day, I did 13 interviews because everybody was trying to figure this out. So, but what we learned from all of that, it was a great learning experience. We then went to our website after we realized, and we had this thing going with Chase for over, since last April. We knew that at this run, it was going to be free online payment because we've got to get people out of the banks, off the cash, off the checks, and just pay for free online. So we're hoping by March 1st that those numbers are driven way up. But what we did was we decided that on our website, cookcountytreasure.com, there's six big boxes. But the purple box in the middle, it's the purple box in the middle of cookcountytreasure.com, is the box you want to go to. If you're listening and you're on a computer, you can also do this on your iPhone. You can do it on your iPad. So here it is. You go there. And your property index number is the Social Security version of everything that you own in terms of property. It's a 14-digit number. It's a PIN, which is the abbreviated form.
Most people have that when you get your deed and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but you know what? In the real world, do I walk around with my PIN number for my property? I mean, I can tell you my Social Security number, but I don't like keep my PIN number in my head. So we knew that because people are constantly calling and they say, what's my PIN number? Because they don't know where their bill is. Okay. So what we did was we programmed this site to make it user-friendly. These people outside are all looking in here because we're doing this radio show. And for those of you who can't see, my husband had a board meeting tonight. So Justin was kind enough to let me bring my puppy here. And people are actually waving at this puppy that's sitting here.
Right.
So now...
The joys of radio. Yeah.
Yeah. So we needed to get this site programmed for people to make it really, really easy. So now all you do is put in
your
address.
You
put in your address and listen to what pops up in that purple box. Your printable, downloadable bill. So assume you can't tell me anymore that the United States Post Office didn't deliver.
No, that's right. But okay, so I'm going to take a quick break. And I want to talk to you about in your time at Treasure, because last time we talked, you talked about going paperless at the office.
I'm almost there.
And I want to talk about that because obviously, and there's some really great stuff about how government has to be cost effective, but it also has to keep up with society. And we see that over and over that government over time has actually stepped behind. And whether we've seen that with our things that we rely on government services and other places. So how important is it in the treasurer's office to make sure that you're in step with what's happening when it comes to technology? Don't answer. That's going to come up right after the break.
Oh, I don't want to take a break.
No, just a real quick break.
Do I have to take a break?
Just a real quick break.
Okay, we'll take a break.
Treasurer Maria Pappas in studio with us tonight. Stay with us. It's a download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, my guest, Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas. She is, of course, everybody knows a little bit about the Cook County Treasurer's Office this week, the first week of March, because your property tax bill is due, at least 55% of it. But she's also been in the news for having to handle an influx of people who did successfully pay their taxes, their 2017 taxes early, to avoid being penalized with the new tax code from the federal government. You know, before you were talking about what you learn from property taxes. And you did mention, and we'll talk about it later, I guess now is the time, we talk about this being an ethnic town, a city that, of course, has a lot of communities. But you learn a lot about what languages are spoken here, the breakdown of where people are living. I mean, there's a lot that you learn in the treasurer's office about society from how they pay their taxes.
Right. So when I first got in, as you remember, I mean, 20 years ago, there were $30 million worth of checks sitting on the floor. There were four 386 computers in the office, and all 258 employees had a typewriter. There was no email system. There was no website. There was no lockbox system, and there was no community bank for anyone to pay it. We got in, like all the lawyers, all the bankers in town, and said, how do you handle this? I mean, what did I know about $30 million worth of checks on the floor? I needed help. So when we were going through that first payment cycle, I went to the first floor. This was probably the most shocking thing that happened. You know, I was a little kid from West Virginia who came here and thought, you know, I was like midnight cowgirl arriving here in the 60s. I was like, hello. So now I'm like, wow, I'm the treasurer, right? I go downstairs and there's this long line. And I thought, well, I'm going to be like this nice treasurer and I'm going to go talk to people. I went over to the line to talk to people. Nobody would talk to me. Nobody spoke English. It was like did you ever like get hit in the face? I was like, seriously? I ran back upstairs to the second floor. I got my whole staff together and I said, we are in do trouble.
Because most people, I mean, there are 100 plus languages spoke here?
Well, that's what I said. Get the Census Bureau statistics up right away. So everybody was running around for an hour. They came back in and they said, there's 126 spoken languages in Cook County. I said, well, what are the top 20? And we figured out they were the top owners of property in Cook County are Polish, Russian, Bulgarian, Hispanic, Lithuanian, Romanian, Syrian, Chinese, Vietnamese. I mean, I could go through.
Well, I mean, you're in a job of service. I mean, you talked about that. So how do you adjust to that?
So we have the site at the bottom left-hand corner of the site. You can punch a button and you can get this website shifts immediately to 106 languages. But that's not what matters. What matters is how did we handle it internally? Because the previous treasurer had like a translator for every language. I mean, when you reduce a staff from 258 down to 70, you've got to be able to accommodate it. So immediately went up, translated. We have had to date, Justin, 400,000 people download in a foreign language. Now, you have to understand that would have been 400,000 ethnics that would have walked into my office.
And asked for a translator.
But no, here's what they do. They're like Greeks. When they come in with the whole family. This is not like, hello, is there a translator here? The mother, the father, the uncle, the aunt, the two kids, the buggy, they all walk in. They're like, hi, Maria,
well,
you know?
I was going to ask, I mean, with the going paperless, and we talk about that, but and what you're doing with the taxes, so what we're going to find out on March 1st, you don't have to talk to anybody? Are the lines gone at your office? I mean, are people getting past the idea of the routine of coming down to
I would
office?
Say it's diminished. We went from 386,000 people walking into one of my offices, we're down to about 26,000 a year. But here's the really important thing. I've got these 35 programmers. I mean, I literally work in an office now. You know, you give three people, you give half of 35 people three screens each. You walk in like nobody that works for you talks to you. I mean, it's like seriously, I'm like, hello, guys in the IT department. Nothing. They don't even look up. I'm like, hello, I work here. I'm the boss. Nothing. Nobody talks to me. So what did they program? I mean, they programmed a downloadable prepayment bill. And what else did they program? They programmed a email system. We used to have envelopes and letter openers and typewriters and answer the question and go look for this and that. Do you know what they do now? Let's say that tomorrow you email me to my site, or tonight, in the middle of the night, you can email me. How do I get a copy of my tax bill? By tomorrow morning, you will have an answer that nobody in my office ever saw. We have programs so that when your buzzwords come in, tax bill, you get the tax bill answer. Because we know that everybody's going to ask the same question 100 times.
The experience of paying taxes. I mean, obviously, you can understand why people don't want to go stand in line, because you're standing in line, which is an inconvenience, and then you get up to the counter and you have to give away your money. You can understand why people want that to be a much more digitized, harmless thing where you press a button and you realize that's just been taken out of your account. But there is something to be said about Cook County residents coming into your office, and they do want to talk to somebody because they're frustrated about how much money this costs. They're frustrated that the bill has gone up and up and up, and they don't know where to go. So they come to you.
But that is what I label the most vulnerable There are a group of people out there who we refer to as our most vulnerable of people. And the most vulnerable of people are those who weren't able to get the money together to pay. So I brought some really interesting stats for you on that, because on May 4th is the tax sale. It occurs once a year when you haven't paid your taxes.
So you don't pay your taxes and there's a tax sale?
There's a tax sale and your property is sold for the amount of taxes. You get all kinds of certified notices and everything. But we are going to tax sale May 4th for the previous year. There are currently 51,000 parcels on that list.
Really?
Yeah. But this is what's interesting. This is what's interesting. Of the 51,000 parcels on the list, 8,479 have returned mail. In other words, I sent you a bill up to 7 times and it's come back to my office. So this new website that I talked to you about at CookCountyTreasure.com, the purple box, if your address is wrong, you could correct it on that site.
Right. But they're not, I would assume they're not, I mean, are you getting people that are coming to you going, I never got the bill? I mean, they all the time. But I would think most people who are going to be at the tax sale, they've already given up on that property. They're getting a sender.
No. We end up selling. We sold fewer properties last year than ever before. We only sold 11,000.
Because they've adjusted to the digital site? Is that your theory?
Because they've adjusted to the digital site, and we're working with all the aldermen and the county assessors, and we're out trying to locate these people. They are actually out knocking on doors, saying hello. But you didn't get your mail.
Beyond that, which is amazing. I didn't know anything about that. But I would assume that paying hunks and chunks of cash the way that we do in our system, in our society, that at a certain day on March 1st, you're owed 55%. You get a lot of people that are coming down there without the money, who want to talk to you or want to talk to your staff or want to talk to somebody to say, listen, you know, is there anything I can do? Or at least have a conversation about why the bill's
here's what happens.
Is that?
Yeah, here's what you get at my counter. If you were to come to my counter tomorrow or the next day, you're going to get, and they're usually senior citizens, okay? They're usually senior citizens who come in with their water bill, their internet bill, their heating bill, their electric bill, their public aid check, whatever, all their pharmacy bills. Okay. A lot of people, we've got a lot of people who come in and bring their pharmacy bills in and say, I have a heart condition. You know, I have to pay $600 a month for medication. My bill's $1,000 and I'm only making $1,200. See? So what we find with that is that we now realize that many of these people who are coming in are seniors who forgot to apply for their exemptions. There's an exemption.
So there's an ability to get less, less if you're a senior citizen.
Yeah, but they don't know it.
They didn't
apply for their homeowners. And the law says that for a senior, you have to apply every year. You have to apply every year. So now what's happening is they don't know that they have to apply every year. And because they don't know that they have to apply every year, they don't get it. So now they're in the office. They're in the office and they're looking at their bill, and we're looking at their bill. And what we do is we realize that they don't have the exemptions that they need. So what do? We work with the Cook County Assessor's Office and we help them get it sorted out. We help them sort out the fact that they didn't get it, and because they didn't get it, we can help them to get it. So here's what's interesting about that. No, listen, let's just take
all right,
no,
but I gotta take a break. I gotta take a break and go to Rob.
We can't take a break.
I know, but I have to take a break and do the news, but go ahead. I'll give you
a
point to
let's
wrap
take
up.
Ed Burke's ward. Ed Burke is 14. You think everybody get there? He's got 344 seniors that didn't get their senior exemptions and 281 who didn't get their senior freeze. I mean, that's outrageous.
Indicative of every ward.
Yeah,
I would
there's 18,000 just in the city of Chicago senior citizens who didn't fill out that form this year. So that's huge money. And 12,500 who didn't get their senior freeze exemption, they got it last year, but not this year. You got to apply every year. So this is what. So this is a pitch to seniors to look for
at your exemption,
whether or not you got your exemption.
Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas, my guest tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get the news with Rob, and then we'll continue our conversation. I found an interesting article on you back in 1992 about how you viewed your role in government. And I want to quiz you 20-some-odd years later about whether or not you still believe those things.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
That's fair.
Treasurer Pappas, stay with us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio tonight. Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas. We're talking about this week, of course, this is the week, the 55% of your property tax bill due on March 1st. So this is a week where Treasurer Pappas is well-liked. I think about it. You've been in Cook County politics for 30 years now.
It's 30 years. Eight is a legislator. I represented the Lakefront and single member districts, and then I've been in this office for 20 years. I got to tell you, this has been an absolutely great run for me. This allowed me to combine all my psych and financial and legal skills. And I probably of all of them, Justin, I mean, I think that I have survived the political process because of the psychological background.
Because
seriously. Had I not had that, I would have not been able to face the rumble and tumble.
Do you think it's just the politics part of it or the job of treasurer? Because you mentioned, I mean, with people coming in and
you know
having
what?
To deal with people.
No, I think the job itself requires a sort of a panacea, you know, like an overview of what goes on inside the minds of ethnics in this city and the racial divisions in this city.
Interesting.
You got to be able to go in and out of these neighborhoods and understand. You know, like Polish are the largest ethnics holding property in Cook County. So, you know, you're going to go out, like, I'm going to go out like March 5th to Pulaski Day, or I go out to Archer Avenue to the Highlanders. That's the Mountaineers. And they've got like Polish schools and dancing schools and language schools. You go out to the Lithuanian Center. You go out to the Ukrainian Center on the west side. You know, I'm going to be going to an Easter egg decorating class out there. You know, this is getting inside the mentality of the people who came to this country and decided that after they got here, that what was important to them was their identity.
Do you think identity. That politicians today forget that? I mean, because you can make an argument that Donald Trump ran on that same posse. I mean, he was the one who went in and understood a lot of communities that felt they were misunderstood.
Well, I could say this. I would say this freely. I probably work more with ethnics and different racial groups than anyone else because I go in and I deal with their languages. I was at a Serbian church on the north side a couple Sundays ago, and I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, how's come there's nobody else here? It was a special ceremony. It's St. Sava's church, and where they take the bread at the end of the church and kids in little costumes twist the bread around. The night before, I was at the German Maskenball where they crown a new prince every year, you know, and get ready for the Mardi Gras. There was, you know, almost 1,000 people there. I mean, you got to go into these communities to understand how they think and what they do so that you can communicate what it is that you want to communicate to them. Same thing. I mean, like, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. When I was working in Elk Gardens as a psychologist when I first got here, I was given an honorary Black Baptist minister's license. I don't know if you know that about me. I didn't put that on my resume, but I'm like, seriously? Because I was working in Elk Gardens in those days. I was working with drug addicts and I was, you know, I was young. I was in my 20s. I came here. I was going to save the world. I was going to make it right. I was going to fix it. I was going to correct all the injustices. I mean, this is a kid who, you know, is coming out, that was in high school during the 60s and got the chance to get out of this little town of 2000 in West Virginia. I was like midnight cowgirl. I hit the streets here in the 60s. I mean, I was like, one of my friends called me and said, I'll meet you at Saks Fifth Avenue on Michigan Avenue. I said, how do you spell Saks? I mean, I was like, you know, naive, to say the least. But the greatness of this city is understanding all of these groups, like understanding that it what the Swedes do with the crowning of these kids and the lights, and how the Austrians light the tree with just candles at Christmas. I mean, you got to understand, you know, you go over to the Ukrainians and you see how they make, and they spend hundreds of hours making little ornaments out of wood strips, and they're teaching their kids how to do it, you know, or going into the basement of a kitchen and eating, you know, homemade cheese pies. So I've had a great run.
Yeah.
I have worked with all 86 consulates, and all 86 of them have come to the treasurer's office to look at our financial systems. This, incidentally, is the 16th largest government in the world.
Let me ask you, because I mentioned this before the news, that I was reading a Chicago Reader piece, and it was a cover story from 1992. So that's, 20-some-odd years ago, 26 years ago. And in it, it was when you were a Cook County commissioner, and they were trying to figure out what your ambitions were. And the piece you two talk about, there's three themes to government. You said, one, we live in an autocratic world. You said government needs to mirror the world around it. You were talking about relationships, and you were talking about counterculture. You're talking about the late 60s and how everyone who was in a relationship, whether it was ethnic or racial or gender, it all was an upheaval.
It was an upheaval, and we had to try and equalize it. It was the difference between labor and management, the difference between men and women, the difference between the priest and the parishioner, and how, in this change of society, this was going to become equalized. You're seeing this now even in the Me Too movement.
You're taking the words right out of my mouth.
You're seeing this in the Catholic Church, where all of a sudden, you know, they're having all these difficulties, and you're seeing that's becoming more humanized.
But what's the role of government? I mean, should the government be in when we see, I mean, even with Speaker of the House right now, with sexual harassment allegations in his party?
You know,
does the government get involved? Does the government have to get in there and equalize and be a part of mirroring society?
The government can't fix this. The government can't. First of all, the local governments can't print money, so they can't fix it. What I think will eventually happen, this is just eventually, I don't know if I'll see it in my lifetime, but I think that what you will see is the reestablishment of an extended family. You're going to see my daughter and her kids moving back in with us. We're all going to be under one roof. Mm-hmm. You're going to see grandparents and parents living together, because it's you're not going to be able to afford to live any other way.
Right, right.
And you're all going to be eating together and cooking together the way it was when I was growing up, like 40 years ago. The other thing that's going to happen is, on a community basis, I remember when I was growing up, you know, you make a loaf of bread for yourself, you made a loaf of bread for the next door neighbor. You're going to see this concept of volunteerism emerging. What do I mean by volunteerism? People, because of what's happened technologically, are going to start to reach out for each other again. They're going to get off Facebook. They're going to get off of Match.com. You know, we'll probably move to a lot more people saying, you know, I think you ought to meet my daughter. The old thing that the Greeks used to do.
Maybe they'll meet on the treasurer's website.
Yeah, on the treasurer's website. But I think what's going to happen is you're going to see people reaching out to people. Like, you'll probably see, as people get older enough, a grandmother's movement, where you're going to see grandmothers who volunteer to help take care of kids where the mothers are working. But they happen to live on the same block. They don't want any money for it. It's just the company. You're going to see more and more of this.
You are, I mean, that is literally the bullet point number two from 1992. It's about volunteerism. So it's funny that you jumped ahead. You are definitely proving that these were authentic notions that you put out in 1992 about what you think about society. The third one was about, and I think we talked about this at the beginning, was that government has to keep up with being cost effective. You can't be in a position where, yeah, which we've seen in Chicago and we've seen in Cook County, where it doesn't, it's out of whack, where there are 26 offices and translators and all this kind of stuff, when that, you know, necessarily isn't.
What happens, yeah, though, is, see, what the problem is this. You're only in office for 4 years, or you're in Congress for two. So you get in, and by the time you get in, you're campaigning for the next time. So unless you're in for a long period of time, like it took 20 years to do what I did. This couldn't have been done in a year. Do you follow? You couldn't create the website. You couldn't create the email system. It takes time to do that, and it takes a vision to do it. And the hardest thing, the hardest thing is finding the employees who have the fire in the belly to follow your vision. That's the hardest thing. This is, you know, in government, I mean, a lot of people call and they say, you know, I want you to hire this one, hire that one. You know, it's you can't do it anymore. You know, to get into the office now, it's tough. You got to get 98% on Pivotal Excel to get in my office. Hmm. Do you think, I can't pass Pivotal Excel. No. Most of the people I know would flunk it.
What's Excel? I don't even know.
Well, it's
I'm joking.
Yeah, it's sophisticated spreadsheets, you know what I
know.
I mean?
But here, let me, I want to wrap because we're going to run out of time and I want to make sure that I get this in. But for you, reading that story in 1992 and even talking about the elections that didn't go your way, you ran for Cook County Board President, lost to John Stroger.
And I was in the Senate race.
And you were in the Senate race against Barack Obama.
Right.
You have had shares of ups and downs in your political career.
Right.
What have you learned from it? I mean, as you,
you know,
embark in your 30th year of doing this.
You never lose a race. You never lose a race. And the reason that you never lose a race is because whether or not you like it, what you're doing in your work is shaping your character. So when I lost to Stroger, what I gained was friendship.
What I gained with friendship was Stroger.
When I lost the United States Senate race, what I realized was that I was out of my league. I was out of my league. I believed when I ran for United States, I was naive when I ran. Do you follow me? Yeah. There was a point at which we were really close in the polls. I was sitting on the couch and I said to my husband, looked at me, because there was so much going on behind the scenes that I didn't even realize happened in the world, let alone was happening to me. Do you know what I mean? And my husband looked at me and he said, you know, I hope we lose this race. He said, I just want a normal life. He said, you win this race, we'll never have normal.
Yeah.
I remember that like it was yesterday. Yeah.
Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas, this is a big week. You hopefully will use the treasurer's website to get the to get your taxes in by March 1st, of course.
Yeah, pay online for free.
Pay online for free, so you don't have to go down to the office and stand in line like we used to.
Yeah.
Treasurer, great to see you. Thanks for coming in. And,
well, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
It's a download here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Cam OB is going to join us, a hip-hop producer turned hip-hop MC. He was the producer behind some of the great albums, contemporary albums of our time, I mean, and mixtapes. Chance the Rapper's Acid Rap, song Cocoa Butter Kisses. It's a great song. Oh my God, that's one of my favorite songs. I don't even think that's the name. Is that the name of the song? That's the hook, yeah. And then on Coloring Book, he won a Grammy for his work. He did some production work on Blessings and some other songs. If you're a fan of Chance, you know Cam OB. He's produced for Vic Mensa, J. Cole, a ton of others. SZA. Not enough vowels in that word. SZA. But we'll talk with him about his upcoming debut album. Fun is that. And coming up at 10 o'clock tonight, we're going to have Kristen Toomey and Rena Kalm. They'll be my guests at The Worst, where we complain about the worst things in society for prizes. Yeah, I read the article on Treasurer Pappas from 1992. It was a huge. You remember when the Reader used to do those cover stories that were just a whole section? And it was about her as a Cook County commissioner. It wasn't even, she wasn't treasurer at that point, so it was just more about is this Cook County Commissioner from the north side. Bridget Gaynor's, Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor's old seat, or new old seat, whatever that is. And, yeah, it was interesting to hear her take on government and how she approaches the office, and then have her in studio and just picking up before I even finished the bullet point. I didn't share that with her for her to quickly just go into the second 2 points. Like I know this, I've done, this is my spiel, doing this for 25, 30 years, telling people about my three pillars of government. But it is interesting about the amounts of languages spoken. I mean, that's not new to Chicago or Cook County, but yeah, you recognize when you're a city agency or a county agency that has to deal with people, especially when you're talking about money. And to think that a lot of those people may be older and they don't deal with the banks and they want to come in and pay in with a check or pull cash out of their purse. I mean, there's a lot that goes into, you know, catering to the and being a service provider for paying taxes in the county of Cook.
I'm actually kind of surprised when I get on the bus, when I look at the scan who's on the bus, and I'm like, everyone here figured out the Venture card? That's complicated. You know, and then I think, oh my God, how difficult.
It was complicated for me.
Yeah, right.
I remember when I didn't really know what I was doing, and I got one, and it didn't work. And so what I did to the bus driver, which was so juvenile, I huffed like I was mad, you know, for society. I was mad for society that this Ventress wasn't working. And I was just like, and I just walked on the bus like, here we go again. My card never works. Like a petulant child, hoping that I would get it. The problem was on mine. Like it didn't, you know, I didn't do it right. But I was acting like it was a systems problem. And the bus driver was great. He wouldn't move the bus. He's like, excuse me. Oh. Come on back. Let's try it again. And then he's like, all right, are you doing it right? Like, he knew what the problem was, and I was just trying to act like a mad Chicagoan who just read the newspaper and Ventura was messing up, and oh, gosh. But it was really on me.
So you didn't go to Twitter and do hashtag CTA fail or anything? Ventura
exactly.
Fail.
Ventura fail. Justin fail. That's what that was, that hashtag.
But I can't even imagine thinking about something as complicated as property taxes, how you can manage everybody in Cook County with that.
And this one, if I'm not mistaken, the way it works is that it's a year last year's. So the tax, the actual property tax, if you live in the city of Chicago, is going up. It went up last year. It goes up again this year. But you won't see that until she said you don't see that till the second half. Start seeing you. So your August bill is always the one that's up higher than the year before.
Great.
Welcome back to the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is about to release his debut album called Grown Ass Kid. The Grammy award winning producer steps in front of the mic. Give it up for Camo B.
How come I can't do what I won't do? How come? Trying to get this straight, no doubt. How come we've been through the dance dreams been on hold since my cradle hit the floor, tend to hit my dinner scrum. Remember when I was a kiddo, growing up in the middle, windows lining my smile, silver teeth underneath my pillow, and hanging out in that big head like a Brillo pad. Sister said I need to do something about them B2B naps. Snacking on 80 caps and a pickle in a quarter water, walked in the barbershop asking what I wanted. I told that man I wanted to look like Superman, but when he had the long hair, you know, kind of like Michael Jackson, the damn barber just started laughing. I cried as he gave me that ball fade. Afro puffs at the flow, symbolic of shedding my innocence. I guess I thought they were magicians or alchemists or mathematicians. But algebra and calculus, algorithms designed to cure me of my nappiness. Like a perm burn off my happiness. I sat silently acquiescent, pitfalls of adolescence, spitballs and scrabble sessions and tattletales. Playing around in the hallway like one of Santa's elves. You wanna go to jail? Hell no, Mrs. Security. Got sent to the principal for my potty mouth, talking about some give me your numbers so we can call the house. But give me got shot, so the ink stain in my record now. You pull a comb to my afro, it'll shatter crackle like a bowl full of Rice Krispies, rolling my innocence in a cigarillo like. How come I can't do what flow I won't do? How come? Trying to get this straight, no doubt. How come do? How come? We've been through the night, dreams been on hold. Since my cradle hit the floor, tend to head my dinner scrum.
Camo B makes beats for several of the top hip-hop artists working today, whether it's winning a Grammy for his work on Chance's Coloring Book or producing tracks for J. Cole, SZA, or other Chicago artists like Vic Mensa. Cam has had an amazing couple of years behind the scene, but it's time for him to step out on his own. We just heard the single off the album Tenderheaded. It's still his signature beats, but now we get to hear the artist in full. Camo B came here from Vegas 6 years ago, and he has been a huge reason why Chicago is at the center of a hip-hop renaissance. He's my guest tonight. Camo B, thanks for being here. Great to meet you, man.
Man, thank you. Thank you.
It's amazing because for a lot of hip-hop fans in Chicago, they know your name automatically because you have produced some of the tracks that put Chicago on the map. When you talk about Cocoa Butter Kisses, Chance the Rapper, and a lot of the artists I just talked about, do you recognize that? Do you think in your head, oh my God, I've been a part of all of the Chicago music that's just getting gobbled up now?
I mean, not until like it's mentioned to me, you know, in that way, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's like it's surreal to realize that the impact that I made was that big because of the fact that, I don't know, I just never looked at myself as that important, you know, I don't know.
Let's talk about your style, because you came here from Las Vegas in 2012.
Yes, in 2012,
and so
yeah.
What were you coming to Chicago for?
Originally, when I first came out here, I didn't know anybody at all. Came out here to work with Rocky Fresh. He's from Chicago. He signed Rick Ross's label, MMG.
Yeah.
And I knew one person. It was a producer from out here named Nascent. I told him I was trying to get beats to Rocky at the time, and he told me that he knew his DJ. So
one does, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so he linked us up over email, and I remember I just started talking to him back and forth for about a few months, probably like from September to November, and around December is when he was like, you should just come out here for a week and get in the studio with Rocky. You know, I ended up coming out for that week. I was only supposed to be here for that week. I ended up calling my job after the week was up to tell them I wasn't coming back. Because I was just like, it just felt good. It felt right. I didn't know, like, he was the first person I met besides Nascent out here. It just felt like I needed to be here. So, and I went through a lot before that. You know, I was depressed. I was like, music wasn't picking up like I wanted it to, you know.
So when you got here in Chicago and you got in the studio with Rocky, you recognized that there was that pull. There was something there that was fulfilling you.
Yes, exactly. And it was crazy because I actually didn't even meet Rocky during that first week. The first person I met was Vic Mensa, actually. LPZ is the one that introduced me. LPZ is the guy that, he was a DJ. He told me...
These DJs, they keep coming up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're the connectors. I think that's what we're learning, right?
Exactly. Yeah, he was like, yo, I know someone who would sound really good over your sound, over your beats, and it was Vic. And the first thing we made was Hollywood Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Like, in December.
And talk about that experience, because obviously Vic Mensa and the Save Money crew at that point were not as known as they are today. Vic Mensa, Chance the Rapper, all those guys down the line have outstanding careers going right now.
Yeah.
But what was it about the relationship with Vic and how he performed as a lyricist and how you produced beats that made you guys a good couple?
At the time, like, we were both like just trying to do something different, you know. For me, because I've been making beats since I was like 11 years old, I've been doing it so long that, you know, I get bored doing the same thing, and I'm always wanting to like push boundaries and just do different stuff with the sound, you know. And he was trying to do the same thing. That's like the main thing that like connected us, you know. At the beginning, he was trying to push boundaries, and so was I. And he was just a dope, super dope lyricist, super dope rapper.
Yeah, he's amazing. When I hear your stuff, and it is for music lovers and people who listen to hip-hop in particular, your stuff does stand out. Is that the, when you think about the motivation and what makes you stand out, is the fact that you do get bored easily and you push the boundaries? Because even Blessings on the Chance record, on Coloring Book, everything about Cam that you put your fingers on, it does sound different. So talk about where that sound comes from. Is it really come from the fact that you get bored easily?
That's not the only thing, but that's part of it. Because I have a lot of like philosophies too about the creative process, you know, where ideas come from.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay.
There's a place to do it, right?
Right, exactly. I love to think about that. Like, I mean, not to get too deep into it, but like, I'm just really into psychoanalysis, which is the study of the subconscious mind, and dreams. I feel that like all ideas come from that subconscious place and come from improvisation. You tap into that subconscious place through improvisation, through doing things at random. That's like the first thing. That's why That's why jazz is what it is,
right.
You know, because improvisation is like at the heart of it.
That's interesting to think about because when I've heard, you know, reading stuff on you and, you know, even in the music, you do get that dreamy kind of feel from the tracks that you're producing. And even, I guess that's what we quote unquote call dreamy is that sound. But when you approach a beat, there's the construct of what you have to put together in terms of the music, meaning, you know, following the 8 beats or whatever it might be. You have to do that. But the improvisation comes on top of that to find ways to make it stand out, right? That's that's the concept.
That's the concept. And like you said, you mentioned the dreamy quality, which is good to hear that from someone else because that's definitely something that I'm trying to do, you know.
But like, it's there.
As a kid, like, I've always been into, you know, video games and the Disney musicals, you know. So, like, I always try to make my stuff sound that way, too.
Awesome. That's awesome to hear. In studio tonight, Cam OB. He is a producer in Chicago who's about to put out his debut album, A Grown-Ass Kid, Grammy Award-winning producer who produced on Chance's Coloring Book. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. And I want to talk about the new music. I also want to talk about the process. I'm always fascinated on how you collaborate. You're a producer and you have the beats and you're able to get into a studio with Chance the Rapper or other people. Mm-hmm. How that process works, just to give us a bird's eye view of it. We'll do that coming up here. Cam will be my guest tonight. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio, hip-hop producer Cam OB. He's Grammy Award winner for his work on Chance the Rapper's Coloring Book, the song Blessings, which is a great song. Mm-hmm. Also, so many great songs. Cocoa Butter Kisses, did a lot of Chance with Acid Rap, and also just amazing J. Cole, SZA, Vic Mensa. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But he is moving out of the studio and into his own right as a hip-hop artist. He has a debut album coming out called Grown-Ass Kid. Why this move? I read places where you always considered yourself a producer. You said, I'm never going to be the guy who gets in front of the mic. What? Tell us about this move. Why move to the forefront?
I guess ultimately it got to a place where my own music became the most creatively fulfilling thing I was doing. But besides that, there's a lot of reasons. One of them is, like, you know, as a producer for other people, you know, I have to realize other people's visions.
Right.
And put mine aside for theirs, which is like a good thing, you know, because it helps the artists, you know, become who they're meant to be sonically. But I got to a point where it started to hurt to do that for so, you know, for so long.
Yeah, I always wonder about that. I guess the question I would have for you, as you can answer this both ways, as a producer and as the rapper, the guy in front, but how much do you change your sound for other artists? If you're working with Vic, Chance, any of the J. Cole, whatever, how much of you and your producer mind is saying, you know what, this sounds like a J. Cole beat, or this sounds like a Chance beat. I'm gonna write for him. I'm going to put this together for him. And how much of it is, no, this is a Camel B joint. If you want it, great, work with it. And if not, let's go in a different direction.
I would say it kind of shifted over time, but it's always kind of been just me just being who I am and just giving what I give. And if you like it, great. If not, then whatever. Like, every time I've ever tried to, like, fit in someone's world, you know, hypothetically, like, a lot of times I don't even get to meet the person before I work with them. It never really goes over well. And I end up sounding like somebody else, you know? So, yeah, over time I got to a place where I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to just do what I do. If they like it, that's good. If not, then fine. It's crazy because I got one placement off of just being myself and doing what I do, regardless of what the other person does. It's a Big Sean, Living Single.
Yeah.
I remember I met him on J. Cole's tour for Forest Hills Drive, and he invited me on his bus to play him some beats, and, like, I had made this beat, like, backstage, and I had no idea that he was going to invite me to do that. And so when I got there, I thought I was unprepared. I was like, oh, man, I don't even have anything. Like, because he had just, like, he was doing club stuff, and the Living Single beat is not that at all. And so I was like, this is what I got. So I played it for him.
And he liked it.
He loved it, yeah.
Is that normal how it works for producers to be in a position where you get these chance meetings with artists like Big Sean or J. Cole, and you're like, what do you got? You got to be ready to pull your computer out and be like, how about this?
Yes.
I mean, is that how it works?
Not all the time, but yes, sometimes it does. Like, with artists like that, especially major label artists, it can be that way. It could be like that quick and cutthroat. Ultimately, like I told you, I choose whatever fulfills me creatively over anything else. That's why I'm doing my own album. So, like, but even when I make beats, if I'm going to make a beat, I'm not going to do it unless I'm, like, fulfilled from it at some way. Because it has to be real for me. But what's cool is that, like, I've gotten up to this point without having to compromise my sound, where everyone has told me since I was a kid that you're going to have to, like, start doing this pop stuff. You got to start doing this club stuff.
Right.
And I'll do that, but I'm not going to do it like everybody else. And it's good to be at this place where I've, like, gotten this far and I've never had to, like,
How competitive is it? For us listening, I don't know anything about the world of hip-hop producing, but how competitive is it? Is there a lot of guys who are hanging out backstage with beats in their pocket ready to open that an artist says, you?
Yes. I
mean, is it like that? Is it almost like the old style of, like, joke writers waiting for Johnny Carson to come off stage? I've got one for you. I mean, is it like that?
Yeah, I mean, yes. In some places it is. In the major music industry, it is very competitive, and that's exactly why I feel like it has that, I don't know, that's where the pressure comes from. But that's part of the reason why I'm doing my album too, because I got tired of just waiting. Because, you know, when you're a producer, you don't have any work if no one's making an album, you know, and you kind of have to wait for somebody to make an album.
Yeah.
And you have to vibe for a position on that album, you know, and then, like, you know, you got to hope that what they're doing is aligns with what you want to do,
right?
And all these things have to line up, and I've been blessed to be able to be in Chicago where people were already, like, into stuff I was into. But after a while, I got to a place where I was like, the stuff I was doing was just too weird for everybody else. That's the thing. I got to a place where the stuff I was doing was too weird. So you know, even, like, working with artists, they, like I said, they have their vision, and my vision is always different. So
now you put it all together to be your vision.
Exactly, put it all together.
I think about, you'll watch documentaries about rock and roll producers, right? You'll see the one guy running around the studio, Jimmy Iovine. He's got, you know, he's rolling the rocking the reel-to-reel tape, and he's getting the band set up.
Yeah.
And then you think of, even, I think of what you know about Kanye West and others, where every song has a number of producers or producers that are working and putting beats together. It's changed in the way that there can be several producers on a record. Chance's record, there's a litany of people who have contributed to that record. Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable with that? Are you the kind of producer who's like, well, I can give it to this one track? Or would you like to be one who says, you know what, I'd like to command and be in charge of this album?
I think it depends. It depends on the situation, on the project at hand, because sometimes an artist will bring me something that I think is, like, it sounds great as is, it just needs, like, little things, and I would never want to touch it and change it, you know. In that situation, I would rather just be an overseer and just be the song whisperer, you know, make sure, you know, just make sure the song doesn't get compromised. Because I feel like when I'm, like, making music, it just feels like it's almost like the song is speaking to me and it's telling me what it wants, and it's also telling me what it doesn't want, telling me what it likes, what it doesn't like. And I can just sit and just feel it, and it's like, okay. Like, it's just funny sometimes. I'm like making a beat, and it's just only a few elements, and I'm like, well, it sounds empty. Let me try to add this, and it's like, nope. Like, can I add this? Nope. It just tells me, it's almost like it tells me no, and I'm just like, it tells me I'm done. And so sometimes I like to just be that person to be the translator between the song and the people. You know, but yeah.
Grown-ass Kid is highly anticipated because a lot of people know your work, and you've been involved in all the artists that I've talked about, all these artists that are up and coming or have established themselves as the moment right now when it comes to hip-hop, not just here in Chicago, but the entire world.
Yeah,
you know, I wonder about, producers have gotten more and more credit in the last decade. I think Kanye West has a lot to do with that in the way that we start to learn who's producing albums, who's actually doing the beats, who's constructing the songs. Where it used to, at one point, you didn't know who was actually putting together a Dre or Dre was, you know? You don't know anyone else. Or the idea was you didn't know who they were on because the artist was the person who was on. But in this new movement, there are so many people that we're becoming attached to the producers. Mm. We're becoming attached to the people who are behind the scenes. Do you feel that as a producer, especially in the work that you're doing right now?
Definitely, especially way more now than it was when I first started making beats. Like, when I first started making beats was, like, in 2001. Yeah, it was definitely way different. Even the internet was different. It was dial-up back then. You know?
Yeah, right.
You know? So
it has something to do with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it does. But yeah, I feel that. And that's also part of what kind of gave me the confidence to, like, to make my own album at first. And this is before I even was writing raps or anything like that. I was just making beats, and I was gonna do, like, a compilation at first. Then the lyricism and the songwriting part kind of came later, which I don't know where it came from. I feel like I learned it through osmosis from being around rappers my whole life.
Absolutely, that's building skill, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
and it's cool because I just got it. I just clicked. It clicked in my mind one day, and I was like, I understand like what makes a dope verse. I don't understand what makes effective writing, effective lyrics. So that's when I started to be like, okay, so now I can like really like tell my own story, but I just tell my own story, but send messages that I want to send instead of having to rely on the artist to do it.
Yeah. Okay, so my last question for you is just, a lot of hip-hop is about confidence. It's mm-hmm. about swagger. But I could tell from just talking with you that you're open-minded to the and open about the fact that it's scary to jump out on your own, right? Scary to get in front of a microphone and do something that you just told us, that you just kind of learned through osmosis how to do this. But as someone who's had success and had to come from nothing to come into Chicago with knowing nobody.
Mm-hmm,
and,
I was homeless when I first got here, too.
Homeless when you got here.
Yeah, exactly.
So where you're at now, where you're pushing boundaries to put your own record out and the whole rap industry is looking forward to what you're going to put out. Talk about the emotions that go into that whole experience and your evolution.
Man, it feels, like you said, the confidence thing, like, it was a big thing for me. I used to tell myself I'm never going to, like, get in front of them. I'm never going to be that guy, you know? Like, but I realized it because of the confidence. It's like, it feels, it's scary. It's, like, terrifying. I've been working on this album since 2013. Part of the reason why it took so long, too, is because I never had the confidence to just believe in myself in that way, you know? Oh, yeah. I always had to use somebody else as an excuse to be like, I'll just be somebody's sidekick. I'll do this for this guy. But every time I tried that, it just, after a while, it just started falling, everything started falling through. And then on top of that, my sound just kept getting weirder and weirder, and more people would turn down my stuff. Like, I'll be working with artists, and I've done like full albums with artists that just got shelled by the label because it's too left, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, that happens. There's so much music out there that I've done that doesn't come out, and that hurts so much. So once it got to that point, I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to do my own thing. That was a battle, and I went through a lot of stuff. But I remember I got to a point, the last thing I did before I like decided to, okay, I'm gonna do this. Long story short, I remember I went scuba diving, and I can't even swim. Like, I don't even know how to swim. It was the most terrifying experience I've ever had in my life. But doing it, it kind of, for me, it symbolized like facing my fears, you know. Mm-hmm. After I did it and came out and emerged from it, I wasn't afraid of anything. I went like 60 feet down into the ocean.
Jeez.
You know, and I came back and I just started writing the album.
There you go.
Yeah.
My guest in studio tonight, Cam O'B, his album Grown Ass Kid is out soon. The Grammy Award winning producer who's produced for Chance the Rapper, J. Cole, SZA, Vic Mensa, just to name a very small percentage of artists that Cam O'B has produced with. The album is coming out soon. I can't thank you enough, Cam, for coming in and talking about the process and talking about the feelings that go in it. And I love the fact that this album has taken 5 years to put together. So I would assume artists are like, hey, what are you doing with that one beat?
Exactly.
You know, you're holding on to it, I'm sure. But we look forward to Grown Ass Kid coming out here. Cam, thanks so much for being
here. Thank you for having me. I'm trying to move with you, girl. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Cause I wanna move with you, girl. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. That's why I'm trying to move with you, girl. Cause I wanna move with you, girl. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Thanks, Rob. It's a download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Pitchfork was announced today by Mural. Do I have this right, Pete? I mean, I'm a Luddite in the sense that I don't pay attention too much to the hip new ways that festivals are announcing their lineup. But did they put a live stream up on their website for us to watch a muralist paint the names of the top 12 bands that'll be at the festival in July?
Yeah, pretty much.
Did I just sum it up? And so you had to wait for the muralist to get to the band and spell the band out with paint?
Correct. That's what happened.
Wow.
They made the announcement yesterday. Tomorrow, 10:30, first wave of band announcements. I'm like, oh, this is great. Go there, check it out. You get a list. So I go there at 10:30. I just see a video pop. I'm like, what's going on? And it's like, it's a mural. It's at the, it's over by the Violet Hour, in front of the Violet Hour, that bar, right, and right on Damon. I'm like, what am I watching? And then all of a sudden I see this woman in an orange, you know, beanie cap come into the picture and starts drawing on the wall. Oh, I'm like, God. What is she doing?
Is that hip or is it completely lame? Like, I can't tell. I mean, I guess maybe in the experience, you're like, if you were younger, like, oh, cool. Oh, I got to wait for them to write the words, the actual letters out. Or is it just like, all right, are you just tongue-in-cheek messing with us? Like, I'm not sure how to feel about that.
I mean, as somebody who's waiting there for the announcement, I was like, I was a little bit annoyed. I mean, yeah. Just like, you know, put out a list.
Yeah,
just kind of like when you like see something on the internet that you like, and then it's a slideshow kind of thing. Like, yeah. No, just give me a row, you know, the top 10. But I think I kind of came around to enjoying watching this person do the artwork, and it looks cool.
Yeah, and I guess in the long run, it's not like it took 2 days. I mean, the announcement was out by noon, and everyone knew who it was. So
right.
What are we? I mean, I guess it's a creative way to do that, but it's so odd.
Yeah.
And I like those guys. When Ryan was on it, or Mike Reed was just here, we talked to him about it. I mean, I like Pitchfork, and I like that festival, and they got some pretty cool people coming through. It's just, I can't tell if that was, you know, kind of jumping the hipster shark, or if they're really cutting edge.
I think it was an interesting way to do it.
Hmm. Tame Impala.
Mm-hmm.
I like that band.
I'm watching.
You get to guess what it is. T.
Yeah, it's like you're doing T-Rex. Wheel of Fortune. Right. Yeah.
T-A. Jeez. At that point, I guess I would go Tame Impala. Terry. Tawny. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard. I mean, when you get like Japan droids, you know, when you get droids, you're like, oh, I think I got this.
I know what's up. Japan droids are an exciting. They just did the headliners essentially for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and download regular Raven Lanae, R&B star, has been on this program twice. She came through for an interview and then she did a Studio 435. She's one of the headliners.
Yeah,
congratulations to Raven Lanae, who came in here as a kid. I mean, she was in high school. She was 16 or 17 when we first interviewed her back in 2015, 2016, and. Now, I mean, she is. I saw a clip where she was on MTV, like TRL Live. She's doing a bunch of different things. She's got a record label. She's on a major label,
Atlantic. Yeah.
And now here she is, one of the headliners for Pitchfork. That's a great, great Chicago story.
And I'm not sure what her representation is at this point, but I remember when we first had her on.
It was her mom.
It was her mom that was, and her mom very well, maybe still involved in her career.
I hope it wasn't a hostile takeover. I hope it wasn't Atlantic Records being like, Miss Lanae, you need to step to the side. We'll take it from here. I'm going to suss this hair up. No. They did it. They was a wonderful, wonderful kid and emerging artist, Raven Lanae. And she was great on the program.
Yeah,
and we knew at a young age she'd be a star. So great to see that. Well, how about that, Download Nation? How great is that? That one of our guess that we I feel I that's one of the fun things about having these bands in here is that you don't know what the next step's going to be. The other, you know, band like Whitney's in studio and you're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, they're on Colbert or whatever.
Got it.
So it's really fun to watch these Chicago musicians grow and become something, especially right before your eyes. So it's awesome.
Nice. There's two more. I think there's two more waves of announcements. This is just the first. This is just the first 12 bands.
So maybe these aren't the headliners.
So I don't think Raven Lanae is necessarily a headliner.
She's
She's just on the list.
She had the right letters. The painter today had the right letters to make her name.
Yeah. There was an R and an A, and then at the end it was AE. I was like, "That's gotta be Raven Lanae." I nailed it quick.
See,
I was on the wheel.
It worked in the sense you stayed with it.
I was interested because then like the sky was blue and then you saw a big star. I was watching people eat tacos, you know,
I guess it was a success.
I mean, for my pea brain,
that's hilarious.
I liked it. I know people were waiting. They just wanted the thing, immediately. But I know
Pitchfork is edgy, but if I were running Pitchfork, I would do it like Selection Sunday, like the March Madness tournament. I would just have it where it's that kind of thing, and I'd be like, and then you're going to see it 4:00. Pull the thing back. Japan Droids.
Yeah.
And then I'd have a camera on them, the band hanging out backstage somewhere, and they're like, yeah, we did it. We made it. Like,
and
I would
then
parody
you always
that.
Have the bubble team,
yeah,
that
right,
doesn't
the
get in.
That
like,
didn't
they
make
do
it.
The 12.
Right?
Like,
wouldn't that be the best thing? I mean, if you're going to go, you're obviously having fun with announcements.
Yeah, they're doing something different.
How about I go one step further with Pitchfork? I think you need to almost create homages or kind of mock all these selection committee kind of thing. Like, I mean, it'd be hilarious to do that bit.
Yeah,
it'd be hilarious
if
they could put
bit.
It together with a camera on the band, and they get all excited when their name gets called, and they just mock a presentation for college
yeah, that
football
would be really,
basketball.
That'd
be great,
would
be
really
it?
Funny.
We should do it with all the resources we have.
Yeah. Like a whole stadium, like at a concert or whatever, like the yeah. whole state. You know, sometimes they, like the there's the basketball team, and then the whole gym is packed with people.
Be easy to do. You could just record. I'm getting the semantics on our yeah. on our. All right, harebrained idea, but...
Well, we know Mike Reed.
We do. Mike, can you come on back?
Yeah.
We have an idea for next year's selection for Pitchfork. All right, we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back, and we'll talk. But we also got coming up the worst, 312-981-7200. Stay with us. It's a little bit of a... interesting week for us because we're on every night this week. There's a Blackhawks game that is late on Thursday, so I think they're out west. Maybe I don't know where they're at, but they're the game starts after 8:30 or some sweet. You've got the first hour and a half or so coming up tomorrow. I'm very excited about tomorrow's show. I'm not saying that I'm not as excited about tonight or yesterday, but tonight Cubs manager Joe Maddon. How great is that? I know we are the Sox flagship, but we're talking to him about non-baseball related things. There's a new documentary called American Creed, which is airing tonight and tomorrow on PBS. It's really the star is Condoleezza Rice. But the concept of the documentary is these big-time politicians and other tastemakers in the world recognize that we're a divided country. And the question is, what can they do with where they're from, who they are, how they approach the world to make our country come together, essentially. And Joe Maddon is in it.
Yeah.
Talking about his hometown in Pennsylvania. So I'm excited about that, right?
It's great.
So
only one question about the handling of the pitching staff in the World Series.
Just I'll let you do that. But we'll talk with Cubs manager Joe Maddon.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I know, it takes some time out to talk with us. I mean, I would think that the last thing you'd want to do is get on the old hotel phone while you're trying to, you know, get that free HBO they give you down in Mesa. Where do they stay? Do they stay like in their own, are there barracks, or do they just stay in the local hotel there?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know what I mean? The Cubs and Powell would know. Kevin Powell would know. But it'd be interesting to see where they stay, right?
Do they stay in their own homes if they have homes out there?
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's not like training camp. They probably all have homes there. I would think it'd be like football training camp, which is still the most ridiculously outdated concept, that you go to a local community college and you bunk.
Yeah.
Two millionaires, huge millionaires, bunk in a freshman dorm to practice twice a week.
I don't get it either,
man. I mean, I guess that there's not a lot of housing options when they're going down to Bourbonnais, or I mean, I'm sure there is. It's an area, you know, down that way. But I don't know. It's just some sort of antiquated.
It really does. It makes me uncomfortable. Even like when I watch Top Chef. At the, you know, they're in the Top Chef house, and the guys are grouped together and the women are grouped together, and the guys, like, they get into their bedroom and they all have bunk beds. I'm like, these are grown men. Careers and families.
When I was in Jamaica, the villa that we had, I shared the upstairs room with my dad, and that was creepy enough. Like, I was like, it's my dad, it's my family. But I'm like, I don't want to be in the same, like, room.
Yeah.
Get another room out of this thing?
So, it's weird.
Yeah. So just these, the idea that these two 350-pound linemen are like, good night. Good night. Like, lights out, guys. Lights out at 9 o'clock, guys. Like, they're in the, that's so weird.
Yeah. Like, they run into the, you know, first one in runs and puts his bag on the top bunk.
So weird. You're absolutely right. The idea of the training camp for football is, I don't know, like, that's like right out of the 50s.
Yeah, is it, like, did Vince Lombardi start that? Right. And just, like, you know, men they, to get together.
Right.
And
do they put lye on everybody and then they gotta hose it off and then they shave everybody's head and they make them go through basic training for 8 months? Like, come on, man. 8 weeks. Anyway, Joe Maddon on the show tomorrow.
Great.
Yeah. I'm sure he's got nice digs. Also tomorrow, I'm excited about this too. Dan Proft at the big table.
Wow.
Dan Proft, of course, a longtime broadcaster, also a former politician who ran for governor at one point. Interesting guy whose name continues to be in the center of conservative politics in the state of Illinois. We'll talk with him about what he sees for the future of the Republican Party. Dan Proft.
I always liked his campaign or his campaign slogan when he was running for governor. It was, Illinois is not broke, it's fixed.
Oh, that is a good line.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that is. We need more. We need better lines.
Do we have any lines? What's Biss's line?
I don't know.
Middle class
governor. Yeah. I have milk in my fridge just like you.
It's not as quippy.
You know, and I don't get into it because we're just shooting the breeze for three more minutes till the worst starts at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow, Greg Flamm as well in the swap meet is swapping times. He's coming in tomorrow, Wednesdays, because Thursdays for the month of March are all taken by Blackhawks games. So we're going to move the swap meet back to Wednesday tomorrow night. But, yeah. There's a couple of Dan Biss. I think it's a Pritzker ad that's an anti-Dan Biss ad, where it's a woman and she's talking about how Dan Biss wants to take away my pension. I find that a little disingenuous. I know what they're speaking of. They're speaking of Senator Biss when he was one of the sponsors of the bill that really did what everybody in the state of Illinois, barring maybe people who didn't want to see pensions, any money taken away from them. Where they did a pain share before ride share, there was pain share. And this concept was we all were taxpayers, pension people who had the benefits. Everybody involved was going to work together to deal with this unfunded liability of paying back pensions. It passed the House, passed the Senate, was signed by Governor Quinn. It got rejected by the state Supreme Court that called it unconstitutional because you cannot handshake deal with somebody, take their money, and not give it back to them. And everyone agrees with that. And since that time, and it's mostly been under Governor Rauner, nothing has changed when it comes to that. And so the idea to pin that on Daniel Biss, of all the people, including Mike Madigan and including Governor Quinn, including even Republicans who were involved in that move, to only be struck down by the court, I find that to be disingenuous. I find it weird that that's what you're harping on, because it seemed like he's the only one in the last 10 years that actually attempted to do something. Everyone else has been like, you know, we'll just deal with it. You know what? Let's just not talk about it. I think that's all of their lines that are running for governor. Hi, I'm Bruce Rauner. Let's just not talk about it. .com. I'm J.B. Pritzker running for governor. Let's not talk about it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not saying that what he did was perfect, and I'm not saying that I even support Daniel Biss in trying to do the pain share. But for him to stick his neck out and say, let's do this to fix the state of Illinois in my role as a senator, a state senator, to then have one of his own, like a Democrat, attack him for doing that, why would anybody who works as our representatives in state, local, or federal government ever want to put their name on anything for the fact that they'll be retaliated against in an attack ad in a year? And I understand that if you're going to have two different philosophies from party to party, meaning a Republican attacking a Democrat or Democrat attacking a Republican. But this being in the primary, It seems very weird that Democrats would take on Democrats off an issue of trying to fix a huge state problem. What do I know? It's the name of that segment. What do I know? But I'm just a guy who does a talk show on Michigan Avenue. What do I know?
All
right, that's the pizza song. I don't know if that's the pizza song. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's time to play the worst. This is our segment we do every Tuesday night where we collectively complain about the worst things in society for prizes. We've got pizza. We've got the weather station, 312-981-7200. The weather, that sounded like it was about a lot bigger. Like weather station would be like a satellite. But this is an indoor weather station. Desktop.
It's, there's a lot of other just adjectives. Just a flash drive. It's thermometer. It's a thermometer.
It's a thermometer. A mercury one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. You can text. You can call. We've got great panelists to judge your worst tonight. Returning champions, I like to say. Rena Kalm and Kristen Toomey, both two great stand-up comedians here in Chicago. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us back.
Rena does the Laugh Factory show on Tuesday nights. Mm-hmm. We know, I know that because you always miss it to come here, so I appreciate that. So
I have my priorities set.
There's
you know,
an aimless crowd right now outside the Laugh Factory. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Rena's not here.
No, always leave them wanting more, right? So I like to step out every now and then. Step out on my kids, you know?
There you go.
Crack a window, and I'll be back next week.
I'll be back next week. Kristen Toomey.
Hi.
Is going to be a Comedians You Should Know at Timothy O'Toole's tomorrow night. That's a great room, as you say, in the business.
In the biz, yes.
Good to see you.
Thanks. Good to see you, too.
All right. So why don't we get through, let me do this. We start every worst the same way with Pete Zimmerman, who kicks it off. Pete, you ready to rock?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right.
You know what's the worst?
What's the worst, Pete?
Kids' artwork. young kids.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You mean like the stick drawing type stuff?
Yeah. You know, you see it on Facebook and Proud Parents and what have you.
Yeah.
Does it deserve a like?
Does it deserve a like?
I mean, angry face.
Yeah. A wow. Maybe a wow. Maybe it's a
wow. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Sad.
Wow. You just do a wow. Like anything your ex posts, just go wow. Never clarify.
It is true. Kids' artwork on social media. I would even add that to it because
on
you might get kids
media, yeah.
Yeah, who get it home from school and then the process of discovering their inner artist and you put it up on the fridge, do all that kind of thing. But the sharing it to social media platforms, being like, do you like it as much as I do?
Like, that's, unless it's accidentally very inappropriate, then that's very funny. You know what I mean?
As a parent, I have a hard time deciding what to keep and what not to keep.
Right.
Because, frankly, you can't keep it all. And, you know, everything they slightly draw on.
Right.
And so you really have to get critical. And let's get critical.
Justin, I need to jump in here for 2 seconds.
Go,
we talked about highly inappropriate drawings by the little ones.
Yes.
Aiden was supposed to draw, now he's 8, he was supposed to draw shovels.
Okay.
The shovels ended up looking more phallic than shovels.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Sure.
Yeah.
The news guy just said phallic.
Even in the cold.
I love it.
Rob, do you? Here's a question, Nicole. Do you share that one on social media?
I did, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
It was just too funny to keep to myself.
But you followed Rena's rules.
That's worth it. That's worth it, I would say.
So the shovels ended up looking like a bunch of penises. So.
Yeah.
There it is.
Rob's killing it. Rob, get in here.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
312-981-7200. All right, Rena, what do you got for the worst this week?
Well, I mean, I think that brings it to content online. You know, I know it's probably been said before, but fighting on Facebook, it's like, have we not realized that doesn't help yet?
Yeah,
have
right.
we not realized it's going nowhere? I don't even read it anymore. You just try to hop into stuff and be like, you don't even agree or disagree anymore. If it's past a paragraph, like, I'm not even going to skim it.
It's
like, I'm not.
I think we're at the point now where we can just say social media is the worst. I'm not even sure that there's even categories anymore.
No,
I think
we're
at that point where it's teetering over the edge.
I think it's like you can kind of just like scroll to the end, see what the general consensus is. Is it a heart? Is it a wow? Is it a like? how do I feel about this person? I still haven't read a word of it. Let's go with a ha-ha. You know?
Right.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, a real civil space to be. And yeah. I read something that said that there's a study out that said something about that you're actually... There is absolutely the worst place to be to have an argument is on social media, like on Facebook particularly, because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. there's no way to win it. There will never be, by human nature, there will never be anyone who goes, huh, never thought of that. Yeah. Like, it's just not going to happen, so stop.
You can actually, if you don't agree with somebody, you can just watch them kind of fight themselves after a while, which works out pretty well. My sister posted something this week that said, what we need right now is not gun control. What we need is to regulate who can buy the guns. And I'm like, that's gun control. That was one sentence. How did you do that? It was one sentence.
And you hit, wow. Right.
But it doesn't help to be like, you're actually really stupid. Did you know? Like, that doesn't help. So you just don't say anything. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. All right. Wow. Well, what do you got, Kristen? What are you thinking?
Oh, well, I think taking the wrong ramp in the middle of the night the worst, because I took the wrong ramp. I was going from Iowa.
This is ridiculous.
Last Friday, I was supposed to get on 88 and just go straight.
Yeah, you just go straight. All
just
way.
Go straight home. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then I was watching. I turned off the GPS because I was real cocky about it. And then 2 hours later, I'm thinking, you know, nothing looks familiar. And I should notice some landmarks by now. And I was in Peoria.
So you're just aimlessly driving through the middle of the country.
I just took a tour of Illinois.
Isn't
that
the worst when you drive to the wrong city?
Isn't it the worst when you double your trip home?
Yeah, isn't it the worst when you live in the place you're supposed to go but still manage to drive to Peoria?
It's so good.
Isn't it the worst?
When you said ramp, I'm like, oh, yeah. It's like, and then you turn around.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I guess going all the way out of the way to Peoria.
Yeah,
I fully went the wrong way down a one way in St. Louis a couple weeks ago. Oof. And the way you get out of that move is just be like, oh, well, whoops, I guess.
Yeah, right.
You just kind of find
your
way back. Sorry,
that was me.
Yeah, I did that in Milwaukee and everybody was honking. And I was like, you guys are mean here.
I don't understand these customs.
You're like, that lady's the worst.
Yeah, 312-981-7200. My worst is I feel like I'm one of the only people affected by this, so I always get local. But they just announced, I saw out of the corner of my eye a sign that said detour. And it was a late night crossing a bridge. And I was like, what did that mean? Right? I'm like, am I going to die on this bridge? But then
you
I
and
also
I
was
in
like,
a car yeah, together would
right,
not
it's
be
not going to work out. But then I realized, though, that meant something else. So I kind of circled around to see it again. And it said, detour, this bridge will be closed starting on Monday, February 26th, till it didn't have a till. It just,
forever.
It just, yeah. And so I looked it up, and it's a year and a half.
What?
The what? Monroe Bridge, right downtown, the Monroe Bridge. We're not talking about some small bridge. One of the
okay,
a I just year got, and a half.
I got instantly upset, but I did just have a big conversation about like infrastructure and how we should all be like right. you know super careful about that stuff. Right. So it's like
when it affects somebody else.
Thank but you, us. I guess. But a year and a half—that's
a long time.
You know, it's the worst year and a half closures, right?
Yeah, it's like if it's that messed up, maybe it should be closed now.
Yeah, maybe right? I shouldn't have gone around again.
I got to get a better read on that sign.
See what the problem is here.
It's really messed up, this bridge. I better go over it.
Weird
well,
bridge.
Well, speaking of like local and construction, I think the worst, and I'll say this right now, is the new Wrigleyville.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's the worst because it's like, listen, spend as much money and time as you want on these buildings. I don't know anybody in Chicago that wants to hang out in Wrigleyville. Sorry. Yeah.
Like, you nailed just, it.
Yeah.
You know,
the Cubs, sure. But like, I don't, so many businesses like can't stay open during the winter. Like nobody just like wants to go there.
I have not been in Wrigleyville in a long time. Do they get lines out the door on February nights? I mean, do people go up there and regardless? Is it still kind of like a party go-to place for frat
guys? I mean,
there's
still drunk people
like
wandering around and whatever. Yeah, and it's very fratty, bro-y, but like not even that much. Me and Kristen ran a show in Wrigleyville.
Yeah, hoo-ha comedy.
Yeah, and it used to be in Wrigley. It's not anymore, but
it was at Rocket.
Trying to convince people to come to...
Not there.
We don't need to plug it anymore about the Rocket.
I mean, you can look for it.
No, it's Rocket is a
your,
great...
It's in your routine.
Yeah, Billy Deck,
Billy
great
Deck,
burgers.
Hey, shout out, Billy Deck.
Billy Deck, not the worst. Anyway, yeah.
Killer hats, anyway.
But yeah, like they have a Starbucks now, but they tore down the McDonald's. And right. if they do anything to that Taco Bell, people are going to not be okay with
that. They already
that.
Did. Didn't they say they're taking that down?
Did they?
They
added booze.
Yeah. No, the booze no. was, that's 3 years ago. You're 3 years late on your Taco Bell news.
Yeah, she hasn't drank in five. She doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, they moved on from that, and I believe, and if I remember this, Pete, you'll refresh my memory. It started, somebody had a joke. They're tearing down that, and they're going to make it all hotels and stuff. The Wrigley Field is essentially just getting doubled in its size. They're going to do it like Fenway Park. So the Taco Bell was going to be torn down. It was just a blip. And somebody came up with a Facebook page. It was like, save the Taco Bell. But I know it was in jest. It was like one of these, like kind of like, do a bit. And it just, then it turned into real.
Like, people,
you know,
were
like the
really
guy
attached.
Actually, like the way he approached it, instead of being sarcastic about it, like it just kind of got real. So then he started getting interviewed by the news. And you're like, you really want to save the Taco Bell?
This is your stand, man?
Yeah. We really choose our battles in this world.
I think he did it as a bit because it started out as like a bit. But I think once the camera's gone, he's like, I'm not messing this opportunity up. I'm going with it.
Well, remember they had that
I'm going to save this Taco Bell.
They had that big macaroni noodle out front for a while and like some drunk lady got stuck in the macaroni noodle. And like
that's the worst.
That's but like honestly, that's Wrigleyville. Like
that's Wrigleyville.
Yeah, I don't want a Starbucks. I want some drunk chick with her legs dangling out of a giant macaroni noodle. That's
the only way we know how, right? Yeah. That's hope springs eternal in Wrigleyville. All right, 312-981-7200. All right, we'll come back. We'll read some texts. We got some people on the line. We're playing for pizza. What's the worst? Well, we'll find out. Coming up. Stay with us.
Going down,
playing the worst tonight, 312-981-7200. Rena Kalm and Kristen Toomey in studio. We're getting ready to get to the texts and to the calls. Let's start with Al tonight. Al, why don't you kick us off? What's the worst, bud? You there, Al?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going good. Okay, what do you got for the worst?
All right, the worst. First, I got to tell you that I've got a talent of losing my personal belongings, but I have even a better talent that I always seem to recover them. But the worst is being at a concert packed, jammed full of people, and the host, before the concert starts, all they have to do is announce, we have found a credit card. And because of that announcement, your wife's head turns your direction. She just knows that it's your credit card because you're the one who always loses stuff. And sure enough, when they try to pronounce the name, it was my name.
From the stage.
Yes.
But I did get it back.
That's your talent, man. That's your talent.
And you got a shout out.
And yeah, you did get a shout out.
Yeah, you're like a human boomerang.
Everybody who knew me knew that I was at that concert that night.
There you go. Right. All right. Thanks, Al. Good story.
Thank you.
There you go. All right. Let's keep going here. 708 says, you know what's the worst? Drinking orange juice when you're thirsty.
Oh, yeah. That is. We were talking like chocolate milk or regular milk.
Milk is. I remember walking into the kitchen and being like, oh, I'm so thirsty. Oh, cold milk. You know, and then you drink and you're like, oh, I'm thirstier.
Yeah,
like, thirstier. This did not work out.
Yeah.
I have a problem with Gatorade. It gives me heartburn. And it never...
Interesting.
I know. Don't tell them. Don't tell them.
Don't tell Gatorade?
Yeah. They might blackball me from the biz.
Let me go ahead and get to the contact.
Anything too sweet, I can't do anything. I know they have like sugar-free Gatorade probably, but anything too sweet, I'm just like,
yeah, like kind of coats your teeth.
So I take it you're not a Kool-Aid Tang.
No, aficionado. Even like honestly, I don't drink much of it anymore, but I like Diet Coke better than regular Coke. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like the regular stuff makes my teeth squeaky. Maybe I have bad teeth. I don't know.
It's weird on the teeth.
I have fallen into the craze, the LaCroix craze.
That's I love it. LaCroix.
Oh,
you can tell
we
them.
We gotta change topics. We love it.
Yeah. It's not the worst.
You know what is the worst?
Segment.
People that hate on LaCroix.
Yeah.
And that brings me another thing that I don't like is when people hate on your dietary choices or needs in some cases.
Yeah.
Some people have allergies.
Yeah,
or,
I have
like
celiac.
My best friend.
Yeah.
But
me.
Like, I've been trying to eat, like, I haven't been eating meat this year and I've been trying to
How is that? That's good?
Yeah. The first meat I quit was human men. and
I walked right into that. That's awesome.
No, but I it's been about 6 months since I've eaten meat, and I feel good. I feel fine about it. Who cares? Like, I don't care what anybody else is eating. Like,
yeah, right.
People that get weird about it or in your grill about it, it's like, because I'm trying to go more vegan, but I'm not all the way. So,
right.
Like, if I'm staying with somebody or having a meal with somebody, yes, I will give them the heads up, like, yes, like, kind of vegetarian, I don't eat meat. But otherwise, like, don't criticize or ask or I don't want to talk about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. The worst is caring about what other people
eat. Yeah.
You know, live and let live.
Yeah.
Picky people.
All right, let's keep going here. All right. The worst, 815 says, just paid off the car. I got new tires. Okay. I pull out of the shop and the front driver wheel falls off.
What?
Oh, man. Like,
wait, the steering wheel or like one of the tires?
Front driver wheel. So, yeah, the wheel.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, so you just got it done and they didn't put the lug nuts back on?
Did that, like, mess up the car, probably?
Sure, like, I couldn't even imagine. That's, like, the kind of stuff that you think is going to happen to you that just plausibly cannot.
Yeah.
You know what the worst is? Not to one-up this guy, but...
Yes, and. You're yes, and.
I mean, yes, and. Zip, zap, zap.
Yeah.
No, when I was like 17, I had this terrible car and I was driving to my first day at my new job and I was smoking at the time and I had coffee and I was driving and the back of my seat just broke.
Whoa!
So I just fell just into backwards. The back and spilled coffee all over and like put the cigarette out the window and I'm like, you know, saying stuff I can't say right now. And then I started up a hill, and you don't realize how important the back of the seat is until you start going up a hill, because I was slipping back, and I couldn't reach the pedals anymore.
No.
And so then I had to pull in a white hen, and I was like, do you have any milk crates? And, like, covered in coffee.
And they're like, sure, 1 second.
And they're like, what? Who's this bossy 17-year-old, like, do you have any milk crates? And then I had milk crates holding the seat up forever.
Oh, and how long did you keep that?
Car?
Or that...
The
situation
setup,
setup.
Until I sold the car.
And then you sold it too. That's great.
For anybody listening, she's, by the way, miming driving the car with one hand holding a coffee and the other hand holding a cigarette. She's like, I can't believe something bad happened.
Yeah, with my knee. You know, I was real brave. And
tremendous
then all of a sudden
work.
I was in the back.
Yeah.
The back seat.
All right. 312-981-7200. All right. All right. Okay, let's go to Bubba. Bubba, what's the worst, Bubba?
Hey, this is Bubba. Hey, I was at my girlfriend Sally's house one day. We're sitting there in the front room, and I had gas. And I didn't want Sally to know. And I got this idea. I saw this bell that was up on the mantel there. So I jumped up, and I grabbed that bell, and just rang it and let loose. Only one problem, there was no dinger in it.
That's hilarious. You got up to ring a bell because you had to. That's well.
Ring a bell?
How long, Bubba?
How long
were you dating this? How long were you in this? Was this late into the relationship? Early in the relationship?
Well, we had been courting for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, it has to be new because it's the beginning of the relationship when everybody pretends they don't, you know, do that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to call attention to it with the bell, though. That's so funny.
Good job, Bubba.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
It didn't work, though. All right.
I appreciate it. It didn't work.
It's like the clanging won't stop the smell anyway.
Yeah,
so
it's so funny. Job. Like, just that scene playing out where he jumps up out of nowhere like, I'm going to ring this bell. And then he passes gas.
Oh,
then,
to cover up the noise?
Yeah.
I thought he was trying to ring it with the fart. This whole time. And
you
I was like,
was
that
like...
is not a charming move. I don't know why
he's
Bubba
like,
would try that.
Let me show you this trick.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, honestly.
But there was no dinger in it.
At comedy shows, you count on, like, just you're hoping the person ahead of you is getting a good laugh. If you know what I mean? You just need a loud moment in the room so
right.
that you can, you know.
That's what you get to
I'm
going to
go stand in the corner.
Right.
No autographs.
No autographs.
I need to work on my material. I need some alone time, right. Yeah.
Sign this.
For funny. All right, 312-981-7200. 708 says the worst political yard signs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw one in Ohio the other day that I drove by it really fast. It was the middle of nowhere, Ohio, because I don't even take the toll road. I take the freeway. And I read it really fast, and it said tree and stump removal. And because I read it fast, I thought it said Trump removal. And I was like, whoa, rural really progressive. Ohio.
Yeah. Really progressive out
Never here. Seen one of those out here. But no, it was not.
I don't feel like, I know we're only 2 or 3 weeks out from election time. Are there yard signs all over your neighborhoods? I don't feel like there are in mine.
I haven't seen a lot. I just think it's interesting the things that people choose to put on billboards or signs in general. It seems like they're either really against one thing or really for another thing.
Really for hair on Urlacher. Boy, did they rent out a lot of those.
They really did.
They went to town one right after another. Like, we get it.
One time, a relative that will be nameless, my dad, he had a yard sign up, and this is early when we were kids, and I remember every day he'd come home and it would be ripped out of the yard. So someone didn't like the candidate. It was something low. I don't even remember what it was. But someone in the neighborhood just didn't like it, and they would rip the sign out of our dumb yard in Wonder Lake. Like, who cares, right? Yeah. And my dad, I remember walking with my dad because I was talking about something, and he went over there to check it out, right? And he had barbed wired the entire sign. He was walking over there with a can of, like, WD-40 or something that was toxic from the garage that he sprayed on it.
Oh, my God!
And then he dropped trowel, and he peed on it.
Oh, my God.
While he's, like, talking to me about, get your grades up, you know, or whatever.
It's who's winning dignity now?
I was just wow. And I guarantee the next day I came by, and the sign was half down.
Oh, my God!
Like, the person realized halfway through that there was something. It was covered in something.
Yeah.
And they got out. And I'm like, well, I guess win for one for my dad, right? I guess
he home alone the you know what out of that.
He home alone the political yard sign.
My dad got into it once as some Jehovah's Witnesses came to his house because I might have called them and asked them to make a house call as a prank. Or maybe it was the Church of Latter-day, I don't know, it was something where he didn't want it. And they left, like, I guess they got into a fight, is what I can deduce, and they left a keychain on, like, this rock he had at, like, the beginning of his garage. He smashed the keychain, but, like, would like left it there. Like,
just to let him know that you come back.
Don't even come through
this
here.
This will be your face.
I will smash your keychain.
If this is what I do to a keychain, imagine your face.
Kristen Toomey, Rena Kalm in studio. We're playing the worst tonight. 312-981-7200. We'll do the second half coming up here. Stay with us.
What's going down, y'all? My peoples come
first. When worse come the worst, my peoples come. All right, thank you, Rob. It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're playing the worst, where we complain about the worst things in society for prizes. And we've got Lou Malnati's gift certificate and the desktop indoor weather station. So that's coming up. At the end of this hour, we'll give away the prizes. Our judges tonight, Kristen Toomey, Rena Kalm. Kristen is at Comedians You Should Know, the great showcase right here at Timothy O'Toole's around the corner here in Streeterville. Wednesday nights, Rena Kalm hosts the show at Laugh Factory. And
on Tuesdays, 9:30, yep.
Except when she's here.
Top 10 Tuesdays. Yeah.
10 Tuesdays.
Playing hooky. Yeah.
And you can find you can find these guys are performing all the time. Rena was just at House of Blues. Were you there too?
No. I was at home.
And you were at home. You played home tonight.
I played
great
home.
Club.
Great
club.
I kill it
headlined.
There. I headlined.
Posted, headlined, featured.
I was going to say, I would go the other way and be like, that's not my best.
I bomb
not
there
my best.
Every
I usually
night.
Bomb there.
Yeah.
When my wife and my son are like, nah, that didn't work out. I'm like, I tried. All right. 312-981-7200. 262 says, when you think an oncoming car has their brights on, so you flash yours. But then they hit you with the high beams right before they pass you.
I have a real big problem with people that don't have their headlights on. But, you know, like most people probably just let it go. But not me.
You turn around, you make the follow.
I'm very aggressive. And you know what? I don't let that myth, urban legend, about that's a sign you're going to get killed.
Right.
I don't care.
Don't care.
I mean, you know what? You're going to kill somebody.
When I see
someone's dying either way.
When I see somebody with their headlights not on, I mean, at first, initially, I'm like, idiot. But then my immediate after that is like, oh, gosh, they could get in trouble.
Right.
So I'm worried about that.
Oh, I'm worried about everybody else.
I just wonder if they have one of the fancy new cars where you get charged by you know, the light that you use.
Wait, what?
It's like a I don't know if they, I don't know if they do that or not yet. At some point, they're going to, right? At some
point, there will
be a, yeah, there'll be a meter charge to how much you use the lights, and people will be like, I'm going to conserve on this.
I just realized I don't totally know what a Tesla is, but it seems like
the future.
Well, like a Tesla, sure. Yeah.
Car trends, the worst.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, let's go to Rosie. Rosie, thanks for waiting. What's the worst?
Hi. Well, quite a few years ago, I was, it was my week for carpool, and it was really, really, really freezing out. So my two daughters and I got in the car, and the two neighbor kids got in the back seat, and we're driving down Ridge Avenue to school, and the passenger door won't stay closed.
What?
Oh, no.
So my daughter, who was about, she probably was about 8 years old then, I put her in charge of holding the door closed.
Listen to that laugh.
And she did a great job all the way to school, you know? So now the kids get out of the car and I have to get home. And I'm driving back north down Ridge Avenue, and I don't want to take all the parked cars with me, so I'm driving sort of like in the middle of the two lanes. And all these people are honking at me and pointing like I don't know I'm driving with my car door wide open. And I didn't know what else to do, you know, and fortunately there was a gas station a block away from home, and I just went in there, and they took care of it. But afterwards, I thought of it, and my daughter never forgot about it. She said, Mom, you put me in charge of holding that door closed. I could have been killed.
Yeah, but she also learned a life lesson that sometimes you got to hold the door.
Yeah, if you love something.
There you go. Sometimes you got to hold the door, and
sometimes
they had to get
hold the door.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, if you love someone, put them in harm's way.
Yeah, if you love something, hold on tight or you might go flying out the door.
Yeah, and school's worth dying for. Yeah. Good education.
For sure, right.
Thanks, Rosie. That was great.
That was great.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, too. Thank you. Great show.
You
okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Aw, I like her.
Yeah, she's a front runner.
She wins.
All right, let's hold on. We still have we have three, obviously, to give away here. So
oh, my gosh.
248, driving the speed limit on Lakeshore Drive and feeling like you're going to be run over because everyone drives so fast.
Wait, I'm confused about the complaint.
They're driving the speed limit, and they hate that everyone's so fast.
I'm one of the others.
Yeah, I'm the fast ones, too.
Well, there's nothing worse than being on Lakeshore Drive when a group of... I don't know if the right way to say this. Crotch rocket? Is that a... you can say that?
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about? Those motorcycles? Yeah. And they decide it's time to see to open it up.
Yes.
And they go flying around.
On 290, like, they do between... That all the time. After midnight, forget it. It's like Mad Max out there.
See, like, I think that the right lane should be reserved for the speed limit because that's logical.
Right.
But I think in general, if you look around, it's 40 is the speed limit on Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah.
People
is
are
it?
Usually doing a cool
40.
60.
Yeah. And 60 is moderate.
Yeah. I mean, 50 is like feels like safe, you right. know, but right. 40 feels dangerous because people are going so fast. So I don't know. We all have to think about that.
Well, how fast was the girl on the divvy going? Did you see that picture?
No.
I did.
She got off on the wrong ramp.
She was driving
on,
she was riding
on a divvy on Lakeshore.
Expressway, yeah.
That's insane. My whole thing is just that whatever speed you're going, there's no need ever to be the person that's like, excuse you, and like zoom up to like get around.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's like nobody is impressed. Like people might be like amazed that nobody's hurt, but nobody's like, that guy's cool.
Right, yeah, nobody's thinking you're cool.
Wow.
Wow, that's a fast... Really, that's a fast car.
They I wish I could catch up to him and date him.
Wow, it's so cool how they put everyone at risk in like no time.
Wow, so cool.
Yeah,
man,
everyone's
my life
thinking.
Sucks.
Yeah, everyone's thinking. I'm gonna get up like 3 miles and see him flipped over.
Yeah,
like you're
yeah.
just
Absolutely.
Expecting to see that.
Yeah.
I do that move when somebody's too close behind me where I just like tap the brakes a bunch.
Oh, you let them know.
You know? But I have stopped. We've talked about this on the show. I don't flip people off anymore.
Right.
Now I give a very sarcastic thumbs up.
I'm glad that you've
good
changed.
Job.
I'm glad. I think it's time for, as a society that we get rid of the flip off.
Yeah.
I laugh at people when they're mad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that really gets them mad.
Yeah. I'm always, when someone gets mad over something as trivial as they went first or I went first and,
right.
and then they get mad about it, all you can do is laugh. You're just like, well, you want me to get enraged?
Yeah.
Like, is that what we're doing at 8 o'clock? And I don't have time for this.
Did you need this car length of space in your life?
Now, if it was an Uber or a taxi driver, that's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't have their lights on, then I'm the crazy one.
Different set of rules.
Exactly.
Different set of rules.
Different set of rules.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep going. Let's go to Patty. Patty, what's the worst, Patty?
I think the worst is when you just got finished with a long road trip and you get to your hotel, you want to relax, you finally get in bed, you turn on the TV, and the lips don't sync with the with the sound. Drives you nuts.
I love that that comes with the caveat, the long road trip, get in there.
Oh, God.
That's the worst any time.
Yeah.
I love your scenario where it was a long day of driving before this happened.
All you want is to watch some TV.
Yeah.
All you want.
Programs.
Me and Kristen had a horrible hotel. We had to switch rooms 3 times in St. Louis, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But we didn't even check the TV.
No, there was hair everywhere. A lot of hair.
All right. All right.
The TV is the worst when it doesn't sync. You're trying to watch it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Patty. That's a good one.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
312-981-7200. The worst is when cosmetic salespeople spray you upon entering a department store with cologne.
Mm-hmm.
Does that still happen?
Yes.
Do they spray you without?
I think they usually hand out a card now, like a little piece of paper with the scent on it. I think they'll do.
Yeah, I feel like that's a 70s worst. I don't think anyone's doing that
is
anymore.
Is that a time warp worst?
They don't work for the store. Get out of there. Get a shower.
Yeah,
like
right?
that's.
And the worst, it wasn't even a cosmetics counter. Yeah. Then you're like, all right.
It's like a pet store.
You're I was
like,
a Jewel.
That's the Jewel. That would be the best.
And it was like the produce, how it rains on the produce.
Singing in the rain.
They're spraying the produce with cologne and everything.
Is this Lysol?
No, sir, it's water.
Is this Eternity?
CK1.
CK1? All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'll take our break. We'll see what we got here, and we'll come back, and we'll wrap up the worst. We still got a lot to get through, so we'll do that. And we'll pick some winners. Serena Calm, Kristen Toomey in studio. Stay with us.
What's going down? Come the worst, my peoples come first.
When worst come the worst, my playing the worst tonight. 312-981-7200. Serena Calm, Kristen Toomey in studio. We got some good stuff to get through, so let's do that. Okay. The worst is cleaning my apartment spotless. This is 815. Cooking her favorite dinner, getting her favorite wine. And at the last minute, her boss tells her she's got to stay at work to finish some other project that somebody else didn't finish. I would have made a frozen pizza and got a 6-pack of PBR instead.
Oh, yeah. Poor guy. Someone to share his life with and a clean house and a bottle of wine by himself. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm
you know what? Yeah. We're a little too bitter on this side of the table for that one to win.
I like that, though.
No, it is very sweet.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
What a good
man. He deserves some points.
Yeah. He cleaned. He cooked. He wined. And he just didn't get to dine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Still whining, really.
I would be like, I'd be pretty like, you know, my house looks pretty good, or you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just you can still enjoy those things, you know?
Is she? No, but I mean, all right. We feel bad.
We feel bad. All right, Peggy. Peggy, bring us back. We feel so bad about that situation. What's the worst on your end?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So the worst is when you drop your car off at the auto body shop for a 2 to 3 week repair. You get home and you realize you'd left something in the trunk, and that something is the bag of kitty litter you just scooped and meant to throw in the trash on the way out.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Yeah, I did that today.
Oh, no.
So you don't know if it's going to smell or not. Why don't you just call and be like, hey, I need you to go do something.
I did, and that was the second worst, having to call and when I left in the truck.
That's so funny.
Hell's auto, buddy.
Yeah.
I
think you lead with a dead body, and then when they go, what? You go, just kidding. It's just kitty litter. Yeah. And then they're relieved.
Honestly, one time I left a box of broccoli in like a to-go container of broccoli in my friend's car, and she is dumb at cars and kept like asking the valet guys at our job to check under the hood, and it's like, no, it was in the trunk, and it was the broccoli I left from the Outback.
Well,
and
I didn't know.
Oh. Well, they said normally they don't like to take things out of people's cars, but in this case they would make an exception.
Yeah, right. That's hilarious. Thanks, Peggy. That's a good one.
Yeah, they didn't want to have to smell
You're welcome.
That.
That's
for
good.
2 weeks.
Broccoli will ruin a car. I'm sure kitty litter would too. The ammonia. Oh God. Oh, you man. Know. But broccoli.
But Outback broccoli.
I mean, it didn't help. Stuff. It was just designer, you know. But
Judy, what's the worst, Judy?
Okay, my daughter who got a Power Wheels red Corvette for her third birthday. Riding down the sidewalk in front of the house, and I'm following because you never know when the battery's going to just kerplunk.
Okay.
And a neighbor was walking the same way. My daughter gives her the middle finger.
Why?
Yeah, that's the best.
Just why? I mean, she just was like, hey, I'm going to try this out? And she learned it from watching you?
More observant with my driving than I thought.
Judy, that's wonderful.
Judy killing it.
The Corvette really got in her head, you know?
This is like when you're watching the Winter Olympics and the Austrian skier goes, and you're like, and he just jumped in front of gold. You know, what's the next one? Judy just jumps into the winner's circle with it. Learned it from watching you. Thanks,
so
Judy.
So funny.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's a good way to... All right, let's keep going. The worst is paying homeowner's insurance forever, then a claim for water damage from a frozen pipe gets denied.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. Yeah, what's it for?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear that a lot, right? Insurance. 847, the worst is watching a bug die slowly, spinning around on its back after you sprayed it with Raid.
Well, step on it.
Yeah,
I didn't want it to get... I wanted to get rid of it. I didn't want it to die a painful death.
So you could quicken the process there, pal. Right.
I mean, are you powerless?
You don't have to watch either.
Yeah, like, lots going on there you could fix.
773 says the worst is a UV flashlight on hotel bedding. Yeah, we get that one. Why would anyone
do that?
Don't do that.
At this point,
yourself.
You're just doing it.
Yeah.
Here we go. This one's great. 708. People who purchase old used cop cars, having all of us paranoid out on the road.
Yeah.
That's a great one, 708.
Oh my gosh. I get paranoid if it's a ski rack sometimes, you know? Like,
I just love the idea that it's so true. Like no one's buying a used cop car being like, I like the handle. Yeah. I like what it does.
It looks good.
It's just, you know, it feels good. It's, you know, I have to use the old crates and to keep the seat up. This is a good car.
Black and white, I always liked it. I always like the black and white.
There's absolutely no other reason that people are buying that car.
Except they don't want to get pulled over themselves. Right. They want to trick other cops. Maybe.
They're in the tricking business.
Yeah, they're tricky. Yeah.
They're tricky. Tricksters.
It's a trick.
Yeah. All right.
Robin, you're up. Robin, what's the worst?
The worst. Oh, wait. I forgot the best part of it. The worst is I had to go because tomorrow is when I have to get my license plate sticker and I have to have my emissions test done.
Oh, no. Don't tell me this.
Yesterday, I'm laying in bed, and it's my day off, but I didn't remember that. So I got up, and I'm rushing around, and I'm getting dressed to go to work, and I'm going, oh, my God, thinking it's Tuesday. Well, it was Monday, so I didn't have to do that. But so then I had to go later because I had time, so I went to the DMV. You have to drive like half an hour to get there because there's no emission testing places anymore.
Oh, I know.
I got there, and the line out, not even to get into the facility, but down the road was four or five blocks long. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to give it a shot. They're just going to try. So I go all the way down. I keep passing cars. I'm going, it can't be further than this. I keep passing and passing. I get down there. I pull in the line. And it's moving kind of fast. And I'm thinking, okay, so this is like 40 minutes. I get up there, and I'm the fourth to the next person when they cut it off. So I have to leave.
What do you mean they cut it off? So then like I went, close it?
I went, Yeah, because, well, they have to. It closes at 6 o'clock, and it was already...
They don't have to do it. Their government entity is 24-7 on that thing.
Well, they did. I mean, but they were going to be there for another half hour still with the people that were in line.
That's terrible.
So then I went today. So I went today, and the line is 3 blocks long, but I have plenty of time, so I'm like, okay. So I wait in line, I get up there again, and I'm about 3 cars back, and this big Cadillac comes pulling in, and he noses his way in the front of the line, and everybody's beeping and beeping. And who gets out of the car but me? I go out and say, excuse me, sir, are you getting your emissions test done? Because I thought maybe he was getting a sticker. And he's like, oh, yeah. I said, did you see that big line that's like 3.5 blocks long? We've all been waiting. And he's like, oh, well, sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
My heart is pumping out of my chest. I'm thinking he's going to get out and just beat the crap out of me. And then after all of that, I didn't pass my emissions test.
Oh, no.
I never not passed my emissions test. I was sure I was going to be fine. And I have to get my license plate tomorrow. Yeah. It was not fun.
Well, good for you for telling that jerk off.
Yeah, you spoke for everyone. You know, that's so crazy.
They should have passed you just for that.
I hope he failed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I, but I don't think so.
All right. Thanks, Robin.
Okay, thanks.
This is a tremendous night of good worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard.
Everything's going to.
And I feel like as we get to the end here, Rena Kalm, Kristen Toomey in studio. I mean, I'll just take a stab at it. I feel like I want to do America's Funniest Videos. I've been watching that a lot. You know, at the end, when they do the three, they have little cutesy names, like nicknames for the videos.
Yeah.
So I feel like the nominees would be Daughter Danger, sent in by Rosie. Right, something like that.
Yeah.
Or Farting in the Bell by Bubba. You know, there's a lot.
Yeah. Ring My Bell,
ring
with,
my
Bubba.
Bell with Bubba.
With Bubba.
A Surprise for the Mechanic by Peggy.
Sorry, A Crack in the Bell.
A
I just wanted to
bell,
go back.
That's like, yeah.
I need to add that to the worst, like come up with these funny little
junk in the trunk.
Wait, junk in the trunk.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, tonight we're playing for a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. And a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. All right, so the desktop indoor weather station, I say we give that one to Bubba.
Yeah, he's got a lot of different heat waves going in and out of that place.
It seems like there may be some buttons and some things to push.
Yeah,
some sounds. And
if there's a sound, fart sound.
Maybe there's a fart sound. All right, for the pizza for second place, let's give it to 708, people who purchase old used cop cars.
Yeah,
having all of us paranoid on the road. That's a good one. That's so true. There's only one type of person who's doing that, trickster.
Yeah. Tricksters.
Up to no good.
Up to no good. So first place tonight, and I mean, there's so many great things, but I think we're going to have to give it to Rosie about her daughter. Mostly for her laugh. Just her laugh and telling her daughter had to hold the door shut, and then she had to drive back from the school in the middle of the road with her car door open and everyone honking at her.
I love
that. That's a pretty good story. And then
The laugh wins.
So Rosie will get a pizza as well. Does that sound good? I think we got it.
I think so.
There was such good stuff. There was,
and thank you, Robin. Sorry about your car.
Yeah, I really appreciate you standing up to that caddy guy.
I know, right? I know. Robin, Peggy with the bag of kitty litter, Patty with the TV, the lip sync kind of thing. So much good stuff. Kristen Toomey, Rena Kalm, thanks so much, you guys. You can see Rena at Top 10 Tuesdays at Laugh Factory. Comedians You Should Know with Kristen Toomey tomorrow night at Timothy O'Toole's. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's going to do it tonight for the download. Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez coming up next here on 720 WGN. Hi, Patty.
Hello. I'm waving at the cameras. I was just upstairs, and there's a huge big screen television. You guys are all much bigger than you usually are. Upstairs on the 7th floor, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Larger than life, even.
Do we look okay?
You look great.
All right, good.
You all look fabulous. Some of my favorite women right here in this room.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They were great, yeah. What do you got on the show tonight?
We have a candidate who's running for the DuPage County Sheriff's Department who has some ideas about school shootings. He's got some plans. Jim Mendrick. Pat Brady's going to be here, who you know from Lincoln Forum. And we've got, Steve Van Dinter, our tech guy. Steve Dale, our pet guy. A lot going on. I may have overbooked the show. I might have bitten off more than I could chew. And thankfully, we have Celebrate the Flavors of the World of Women led at an Edgewater Restaurants event coming up.
All right, great. So, well, you know what? That's the beauty of booking your show and putting things together. You know, you'll drive it. You'll kill it.
I know. And Michael, and my producer, Michael Heidemann, thinks that I'm capable of a lot. I need more coffee. Hold on a second. Thanks, Justin. Have a good night. Are you all set? Is that everything?